two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We got the coach on today. I'm excited about this. I can't wait to talk to her. These Utah coaches, they have been making big footsteps for anybody that has to follow them.
Yes.
Whether it's the women's basketball program right now, or the women's gymnastics, or now women's softball, some big steps. I'm excited about that one.
How are you? You good?
I'm so good, buddy. I'm so good. My heart is so full of joy.
You like
and
how Lloyd
love.
Left the room?
It's a tough job he has, Scotty.
Yeah.
Crack the mics and go make noodles.
I know. You guys on? You good? All right. I'm going to go get my pizza pocket.
We've asked you three questions and we've had no response from you back
then. Well, I had to go get my headset. I left it locked up in my desk.
Scotty, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Is your heart full of love and joy and hope and
always.
Peace? Because mine sure is. Just packed full of it. It's funny what a little water in the mountains can do for a guy that's in his late 30s.
What are you up to?
No, I'm not up to anything. Just taking a lot of hikes
and
seeing a lot of snow.
He's up to something.
No, I'm not up to anything. I'm not up to anything. Hey,
you do get that look on your face sometimes where it's like, oh boy, here we go.
Well, you know what I want to talk about.
I know, and you can't.
I'm doing everything I can to
not
be professional.
As you should.
Hey, I just had a conversation with an individual.
Okay.
And I'm not going to talk about who, but somebody that's been working in sports media for a lot of years.
Yeah.
That does not want Utah in the Big 12. Doesn't want BYU and Utah to be in the same conference. I don't want to talk about their affiliation, but is that's like a very small group of people that feel that way, right?
I mean, okay. All right. Well, in a perfect world, okay, you can create your own, whether it's Pac-12, Big 12, regardless of who survives or who doesn't or whatever, in your perfect world, would BYU and Utah be in the same conference?
Very much.
See, I'd
every
like...
Every day. Always.
I will like it when it happens. if it happens slash when it happens, because it does feel like it's heading in that direction right now. But I don't know. I do like one being in one Power 5 conference and the other being in the other Power 5 conference and covering both conferences in depth.
Doesn't it like – feels like it increases the odds more of maybe getting two teams to a playoff.
Of having two teams do big things. I can understand that conversation.
But a late, you know, Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving showdown between these two teams coming back into our lives, it doesn't suck.
So when the Big 12 forms.
I cannot hear the Big 12 and not hear. The Big 12.
I know. He really ruined
like,
it.
This is really going to be hard when as BYU steps into this conference to not hear Big 12.
He really did
all the time. Yeah.
You know I'm not a Dan Hawkins fan. Just so
no,
you know.
No. I agree. I'm not either.
You know I had a couple of different interactions with him. Did you know that?
I did not.
So when I was early stages AFL,
okay.
maybe year two, and I was still going back to Meridian to live, I was starting to kind of branch out, figuring out what am I going to do after this football thing? Because at that point now, I had been in professional football for five camps or six camps and wasn't sure what direction I was going to go. And I actually went down to Boise State and had some conversations with Dan Hawkins about GAing, and it was not good. It was not good. None of the conversations I had with him were helpful or encouraging or anything.
Wow.
It was kind of like, you're wasting my time. And I'm looking at him like, I had a really good college career. I'm still playing professionally.
Yeah.
This game is my life. How could I help you? And it's like, nah, you can't. And it was one of those moments where I learned that head coaches on these college football teams, they have so many people asking them for so many things and so many former players and former teammates and coaches that gave them a chance. And they've got a world sitting on their back waiting for an opportunity. And if you don't have a deep connection, or you don't have some previous interaction, or you don't have that crazy right place, right time, dumb luck moment.
Yeah.
Then there's a really good chance you're not even going to get a half decent conversation with these guys. I mean, I don't know how different it really is in sports radio. You know, if you just put it in terms of what
it's a lot of that. Yeah.
There is a family atmosphere, and you have to have a lot of trust in somebody that comes to you and says, Scotty, I need a job. I was in a Denver market for X amount of time. I've worked on this station, and you don't know this person. I've worked on this station. Okay, can you get me some cuts? I want to be able to hear some of your work. And if they don't have the right work or enough for you to experience, you're like, right now you've got 10 guys, I'm sure, on tap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That you would love to give an opportunity.
100%, yeah.
And that's when I realized these college coaches – dealing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then I was golfing once with Steve Sarkisian years and years ago, back when he was an assistant at USC. I think he was the offense coordinator, maybe, or quarterbacks coach.
With Pete Carroll.
Might have been Norm. And he was getting an opportunity with something. Maybe it was the Washington job. I can't even remember. What was his first job from that USC assistant to?
Might have been Washington. Yeah, I think Washington was the gig.
And I remember asking him, because I was deep in this profession at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember asking him, how tough is this, Steve? Like our former teammates, because I was teammates with Steve for 1 year.
Yeah.
And I had the experience with Dan Hawkins, who ruined the Big 12 for you. Or the Big 12 every time. Yeah. I know, I hear it too. I can't get it out of my head. And I was talking to him and asked him, and he said, if I could just show you how many people who I know, who have had interactions with, who I've coached, played with, or gave me an opportunity that have called me in the last week, that it would blow your mind.
Yeah. And who you feel bad about because you do feel like you owe them. But at the end of the day, you got to build your staff the right way.
That's tough because at the end of the day, as a head coach, you have to figure out a way to exist as a head coach.
Yeah.
Guys are being spit up and chewed up and spit out in a year.
Yeah.
2 years. But
I mean, there are guys, you know, that we know that are obscenely qualified to be radio hosts on this station.
Oh, yeah.
That would come in and be great. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I can think of, you know, four or five. And people that aren't necessarily have a radio background but want to get into the business and are very qualified from a resume standpoint, maybe not a radio standpoint, but their background in sports and stuff like that, that I also think would be really good. And that's one thing I've actually struggled with, and I have actually some regrets, like, because I've never been great in being that Dan Hawkins guy and just saying, it's not working out for you, it's not going to happen. Because, you know, I've got a lineup. We've got a lineup here. We've got a really great lineup. And, you know, honestly, it would be, you know, it's not fair to the guys that are killing it and working hard and delivering great radio on the station to be like, hey, you know what? I'm listening to, you know, I'm going to go talk to this guy. You know, if we had open spots, sure. And so, like, I have regrets in not handling that better, particularly with one guy that I just didn't know how to handle it because I knew he was great and I knew he would be great. But we just didn't have a spot for him and I didn't know how to handle it well and probably needed to be more mature in how I did it. But honestly, it's tough. And
it's got to be a burden.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's there's so many great people, like, you know, honestly, you know, OC could step in here and be awesome right now, you know, yeah.
Incredible personality.
Gunther could step in and be great. You know,
incredible personality.
There's a lot of former coaches that want to get on here that would be great.
Yeah, I know of three.
You know, and there's just, you know, it's not fair to the people that you're working with to be entertaining that stuff.
And I understood that. That's why I don't want to attack Dan Hawkins, but I did try a couple of times.
Yeah.
And the brush off was pretty brutal. Because even as a professional athlete, you're still thinking, well, there's a level of entitled thought. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Of, okay, so how many other guys that are in their fifth or sixth year are coming out asking to see what they can maybe do or figure out what life is past football? Dan Hawkins, you got 2 weeks in July. You got a month that comes after Mother's Day.
It's Division I football. It's the Big 12.
You're not going to be able to get past
no,
it, are you?
No, I can't.
Well, you referenced a lot of stuff in there. We might as well play the full thing.
It's the way he says 12.
Yeah, all right.
It's Division I football. It's the Big 12. It ain't intramurals. You got 2 weeks after finals. You got a week of July 4th, and you got a week before camp starts. That's a month. That's probably more vacation than you guys get. And we're a little bummed out that we don't get 3 weeks. Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
Brother.
It does. It does an old Randy Macho Camacho. Brother. So would that be the smaller sample size, right?
Yeah.
Of somebody saying that they don't want BYU in Utah in the Big
12. It's got to be. Yeah, I guess coming full circle now, this conversation started. Yeah.
It does, right? It's got to be the small. People,
I think
by and large people in the state would want BYU and Utah in the same conference.
I would think so, yes. It's just, it's more fun, honestly. Like, I think it would be great.
I get your point, too, because we have been able to cover independents separately.
Yeah.
Which always in November becomes a real sleeper.
Yeah.
And Utah seems to wake up November, but BYU has lost a lot of interest kind of late into the season, and it all gets shoved over to Utah's side because they're working for a Pac-12 championship. So we did have opposite ends of the spectrum. I just feel like if Utah's doing their thing and BYU's doing their thing and we see that game at the end of the year and it may have an effect on what happens, whether Utah or BYU wins it, or Utah could spoil it, or BYU could spoil it.
But don't you think it's got leaned the other way a little bit more just because they've been apart for so long?
I don't know.
I think it reignites real quick.
I do too.
I think it comes back real quick.
The that line between love and hate is so thin. Yeah. It just is so thin. And you come back together and that passion of that rivalry, it's going to reignite fast, I think.
Yeah. But I do like the idea of, you know, it's a November 14th game with conference, you know, championship on the line, and Rice Eccles is having Utah versus Oregon, and Lavelle Edwards Stadium has BYU versus, you know, this year, you know, or I guess let's take Oklahoma and Texas out of it, but
Oklahoma State.
BYU versus Gundy. I'm a man, mm-hmm. I'm 40, and Oklahoma State rolling into town mm-hmm. for two different conferences. But does that outweigh how much fun it would be for a November 27th game with 10-2 BYU up against 11-1 University of Utah? No, 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 it would not.
No, I think that that would be just, it would be very nostalgic, first of all.
Yes.
You get this flood of, boy, this is, I remember this. These Mountain West Conference championships and these games were so big. But now it's going to be on a bigger level. Because remember, if Utah's in the Big 12, that means Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State are probably in the
Correct.
Big
12. Yeah.
So now you've got a large portion of the Western powerhouses that are playing against some of the Texas powerhouses that go against the Kansases and the Oklahomas and the Cincinnati and, you know, the Texas Techs of the world, and you're trying to figure out supremacy. That is exciting to me.
Yeah.
And having Utah and Colorado and Arizona and Arizona State. So I'm just, you get to the point when you're doing this job, and Scotty, I know you've talked about having Pac-12 lash.
Yeah.
We are getting to that point where the story is starting to nauseate me. And as much as I want the Pac-12 to exist and thrive, and as much as I want Utah to continue to dominate that conference, it just feels like it's dying. And Colorado starts making statements, and you're not feeling like they're all in. And you're hearing the rumblings from guys that are really in the know that Colorado might jump. If Colorado jumps, Utah's got
to
jump.
They have to.
If they've got an opportunity to yeah. do it, which I've got to imagine
okay, that so they would. If Colorado jumps, you fill it with, because you already have San Diego State and SMU coming, you're backfilling Colorado with Colorado State. Come on. You can't replace Colorado with Colorado State.
Nope. Or Air Force.
Or UNLV.
No.
Honestly.
Or Wyoming.
Okay, here. This is my thought. Wyoming.
No.
Here's my thought right here. If Colorado jumps, Utah needs to go.
Oh.
They have to go.
They're attached.
You don't wait for Arizona. You don't wait for Arizona State. You jump. You go.
You're attached.
Because there's nobody of value. Now, look, if you can peel Oklahoma State away or Kansas or whoever to the Pac-12, then okay, great. Stay. But you're not. You're gonna backfill with a Mountain West team, and it's not gonna be great. And look, nobody's more Mountain West than I am. I love that conference.
We both do.
We do.
I still love that conference.
But the Pac-12 can't backfill with, if I'm Utah, you can't backfill with a third G5 team and feel good about where you're at. Not you just make the jump. You call what's his name, your Mark, and say, hey, we're in. Yeah, but you sent out that tweet, Mark. About give me a break. I know. I had to, but we're in. Let's go.
Yep.
You have to.
Yeah, you're attached at the hip in that scenario. And the thought of the four additions that are coming, now you're going to lose two of the 10 with Oklahoma and Texas. You got four coming. That's going to give you a grand total of 12 once Texas and Oklahoma get through this 2023 season. Then they jump into their SEC play, and then we never hear from them again because they become
– Oh, yeah.
Pretty much irrelevant.
Yep.
I'm sure they can still flash from time to time, but they are jumping into a really difficult situation. The Big 12 would look really good at 14 with Colorado and Utah. It would look innovative and progressive at 16 with Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State. It would look progressive it would look cannibalistic, hungry. It would look, like I said, innovative. And you start working on contracts and you start working on what else you can add from the West to now dominate. I know you got to go out to West Virginia, but really from the Texas border, Texas-Kansas border out west, and you build as much as you possibly can through that region, through that area. Get the best teams that you can. And that, to me, builds a Big 12 that demands attention and excitement. The Big 12 would be a constant talking piece. And I'm sure Utah fans are afraid or worried that they're going to look like they're jumping into a conference that BYU's been. BYU doesn't own the Big 12. Yeah. They haven't owned the Big 12. BYU is now an invited guest to the Big 12. They have to make their own roads. And we're talking about what, Scotty? At most, if this happened, a two-year period?
Yeah.
BYU wouldn't have an 11-year or 12-year period of dominance. This would be nothing like the Pac-10 inviting BYU.
No.
Utah would have owned the Pac-10. They would have owned it and felt like, yeah, we did all this without you. What are you doing? I think if the two came in the next 2 years, BYU came in and they had a year or two and Utah came in, I still think they'd all be learning it together.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. Let me ask you this. Take Oklahoma and Texas out. If Utah's in the – and, Lloyd, I want you to jump in because I could be being accused of being narrow-minded and being like, okay, well, you're just Utah radio guy, so of course you're saying this. You take Utah, you take Texas, Oklahoma out of the Big 12.
Yeah.
You put Utah into the Big 12. Is there a better rivalry in that conference than Utah, BYU?
So you and Lloyd probably would know this better than me because I don't.
Kansas, Kansas State doesn't seem like it. Does that ring the bell as a historically great rivalry?
No. It doesn't, not to me, but that's like, why I'm asking.
I know that's. I can't think of anything that really would.
BYU Utah is
that would be
special.
If I'm Brett Yormark. My premier rivalry in this conference.
Is there a TCU Baylor rivalry, or is there any like Texas rivalry, like Texas Tech TCU, or is there any rivalry there?
Not that I know of.
I don't know of any rivalry between Iowa State and anybody. In the Big 12.
And maybe we get our guy Matt Wells on to talk about this, you know, because he knows that area better than any of us. But knows the Utah-BYU rivalry as good as anybody.
I think it instantly becomes the premier rivalry, but I might be going back to what you just said, a narrow-minded Utah perspective. Having played in that rivalry so many years and having covered it so many years, it feels like it'd be the premier.
Hmm. It's close to like a top 10 rivalry in the country. Like, I feel that.
And it's considered that. Like this gets a lot of love across the nation as a nasty.
And people that haven't been a part, and they cover it, and they're like, wow. Like, they'll say that was something.
Do you guys know of, with Houston jumping in, is there anything between Houston and TCU?
No.
Does Houston have a natural rivalry?
I don't think so. Not right now, they don't.
Because I know Cincinnati doesn't have anything in particular jumping in. Either does Central Florida.
Yeah.
Central Florida feels like the outlier to me. Introducing a Florida school, like,
I get it.
You need to be in Florida, but if you're going to be in Florida, maybe be in Florida in a couple of spots.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yep. All right. Hans and Scotty joining us once again. Bryce Merrill, head coach of the Salt Lake Shred, kind enough to hang out with us in studio. Coach, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Bryce? Good. How are we doing today, y'all?
Man, you look like you're getting in good shape. What are you going to jump back out on the field? No, I'm just I talked to your players. They laughed.
Yeah, they said no. Good. I'm glad they reported back correctly.
No, it's awesome, man. It's great to have you back in studio. How are things?
Things are great. We're glad to be back here. Glad to be coming up on a home game and back to our season after a bye week.
Oakland Spiders rolling into town. Tickets $17 for adults, $12 for youth. Kids and under get in free. All right. I've talked to a few people that have been out to games, and they're like, I will be getting out to a game sometime this year because I want to see this thing up close in person. But I had a buddy of mine who said I went to it and I was blown away by how much fun it was. Like, I knew it was going to be interesting, but holy smokes! Like, people get there and they get hooked on this immediately.
You know, we love the game of Ultimate. It has a lot of familiar concepts if you've spent time watching football, basketball, soccer, and if you're a general sports fan. But it combines that with a lot of rapid scoring and a lot of highlight plays. And so it's something that, you know, 90 seconds into the first quarter, you can sort of understand what you're going to be watching and how the game works. And then it just accelerates and stays fast the entire game. It's a great way to spend a Utah summer night.
So you got the win against L.A.? Couple weeks ago, then
got the win against LA. Moved to 5-0 and prepping for Oakland now.
What was the score? You beat them up pretty good.
We did. We were not expected to, but we went up early and the altitude got to them. And I think we walked away with a 12-point win. So we'll take it.
So I want people to understand that the Shred play in the American Ultimate Disc League, the AUDL, and I want you to explain to people how long has this been around and where did the concept really build and come from.
Yeah, great question. So the AUDL is the semi-professional men's division, essentially, of Ultimate Frisbee. A lot of people associate Ultimate maybe with their college dorm or, you know, just throwing a disc on the beach. But Ultimate has been around as a really strong sport, especially in the colleges for several decades. And the AUDL came up about 10. I think we're in our 11th season now, and Salt Lake got an expansion franchise last year, so we're in our second season. So the game is well established. You know, there are great players coming through great high school and college programs, and they're able to do some really special things out there on the field by the time they get to this level of play.
So big one coming up, and again, we're going to talk to you throughout the show about the game and about how cool this thing is and what you guys are building out there. But it is going to be in a great facility, too, at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman. Game coming up on Saturday, June 3rd, 7 o'clock start, $17 for adults, $12 for youth. Kids 8 and under get in free, and you can get tickets at the door, but you say just go to saltlakeshred.com, correct?
That's the best way to do it. Yeah, we'd love to have you there, and come check out Ultimate Frisbee.
Let's go.
Great way to spend an evening, man.
Fired up to spend the next 3 hours here with Bryce Merrill, head coach of the Salt Lake Shred, right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Tim Lacombe, Utah Jazz radio studio analyst.
Are they comfortable at 9, or do you think that doesn't really matter if we're 7, 8, 9, because we have enough assets to where we can move up?
They've certainly got their board and their favorites, and the big key is to try to figure out who's going to take who. If they see a guy, and they've done their intel, and they've done their workouts, and there's just somebody that they feel like they can move up enough and grab, I would expect them to be aggressive and do that. But the one thing I will say is there is a slew of names that, depending on how the draft falls, that group of guys that come up seem to be guys that can really help. You know, if it's looking like they're going to be, you know, in the game for one of those, then maybe you stand back.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. On the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm...
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Brian Howell will be joining us here in just a moment. Beat writer for the Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Looking forward to chatting with him. See where he's at on this whole Colorado thing. Could it be Colorado making the jump? We shall find out here soon. I think we're going to find out pretty quick, and we'll ask him about this because, honestly, is there a deadline here in play? Is it the end of June? Is it the end of July? Like, what's the date? Because I do think, Hans, we're going to see some acceleration coming up in some of this here pretty soon.
Well, that's why I'm excited to have Brian on, because he's one of the best in the business when it comes to understand what's going on in Boulder and maybe what their angle is. This is a great one to have on. And this is the most pertinent story, in my opinion, in the state and related to sports right now. Outside of the upcoming Utah Jazz NBA draft, this is the most pertinent story because it holds incredible ramifications. If Colorado leaves, that directly affects Utah. Yep. Scotty just laid it out perfectly for you. They are tied at the hip. If Colorado leaves and Utah has an opportunity to leave with them, they leave with them. Regardless of what's been said and done to this point, you do not sit on that Pac-12 ship with USC, UCLA, Colorado now leaving, and the rumblings that Washington and Oregon might. Unless I had grant of rights and I could look at it and say, okay, so Washington and Oregon, you just gave up 10 years of rights. And okay, so you're staying. I know it. You've got it in rights and agreement. Then I'll stay. Otherwise, Utah and Colorado, they're tied at the hip.
Yeah. Brian Howell, kind enough to join us. And again, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good.
You know, I got to imagine in recent years, you know, your summer opened up a little bit. You're able to travel, get out a little bit, maybe spend some time with the family. Coach Prime shows up and the Big 12 comes calling and there's no summer break for you.
Well, I hope there is some, but you're right. It is busier than it has been and, you know, a lot more potential for news than that we've had around here in a while.
All right. So let's get to the million-dollar question here. Is the Big 12 conversations real, and is this something that Colorado is entertaining?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's real and something they're entertaining, but, you know, I don't know if it's imminent or super serious until the Pac-12 comes through, if they do come through. You know, and I would imagine that some of the conversations Colorado is having are similar to what other schools are having, that, you know, and not sure why it's only Colorado that is in the spotlight, but I'm guessing that other schools are having similar conversations and setting themselves up for the future, because to me, the longer that the Pac-12 goes without a deal, the more these conversations have got to start happening by these schools.
So, in your opinion, does Coach Prime and the storylines and the excitement that's surrounding it, does that affect or change anything that Colorado might be planning on doing?
I don't think so, just because you don't know how long he's going to be there, you know, and that's not a knock on him. That's just with any coach. And I think if you're making a conference move based on who your coach is, I think that's a tough one, because that's more of a long-term move, I think, than probably a head coach. So I think it might have some impact, just because clearly they're a more attractive team right now than they were even a year ago. So it might have some effect, but I can't imagine that it's like one of the main reasons.
And the reason I ask that is because I just saw the story that talks about, since the first time going back to Colorado's national championship year, that your first three games there in Colorado are going to be either on network television or the mothership ESPN, and it feels like Colorado is grabbing that momentum and that excitement. And I just wonder how much they want to try to capitalize on that, Brian.
Yeah, I you know, certainly they are. I mean, and they certainly are this year. You know, I think that they're trying to capitalize in all ways possible. That might be something that maybe they're pitching that to, you know, the Big 12, or you know, maybe the Pac-12 is using that as they're trying to get their own deals. I don't know, but it certainly doesn't hurt. You know, when you've got a celebrity right now in your back pocket, you know, you got to try to, you know, use that leverage whatever way you can. So I imagine they're probably using that in some way.
Is there a magic number that the Pac-12 needs to hit for Colorado to stay put and shut down these conversations with the Big 12?
Yeah, I think it's got to be, you know, pretty much right in line with what the Big 12 is getting. And I think it's, what, 31.7 is what I saw. So I think it's got to be somewhere around there, around that $30, $31 million mark. And I think if it is there, then I think that most of the schools are going to be okay with that. But I think if it's any less than that, I think it's not just Colorado. I think Arizona, ASU, Utah, they've all got to start looking elsewhere.
Brian, what school of thought do you rest in that you continue on as the Pac-10, or you add one or two in San Diego State and SMU?
I like adding a couple. I like adding San Diego State and SMU, just because you get into a couple of markets that, you know, are still important. You know, even though it's not Los Angeles, you stay in Southern California with San Diego State, and you get into Texas a little bit with SMU. And I would imagine if they add those schools, it would be, you know, sort of a, I'm trying to come up with the term, but like those schools won't make the same amount of money as, you know, the existing Pac-10 schools. So tiered rights, I guess it would be. So I like that idea of adding those two, but I wouldn't really, outside of those two, there's not a whole lot of attractiveness to it. And I'm not sure how attractive those two are either, but they're the two most attractive.
You know, one of the, you know, you back up a decade when Colorado jumped into the Pac-12, I kept hearing a lot of things about, well, it's more of a fit for us academically. And I know academics has taken a big backseat to a lot of the conversations that are going on right now. But is that something that Colorado is somewhat concerned about with the Big 12 and academics?
Yeah, I think so. And I know that, you know, football fans, you know, they kind of laugh at that stuff. And
yeah.
Like, that's not a big deal. But it is a huge deal to the presidents. And, you know, I think that that's something that was a big thing for them going to the Pac-12, is that they did feel like they aligned better with those schools, and they still do. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, people ask what that means. And, well, they do a lot of research projects and things like that together, and it helps when you're in the same conference. So I think that is a concern, but, you know, at the same point, you've got to take care of your athletic department as well. And if there's a lot more money to be had in the Big 12, then you almost got to do that and, you know, and say, well, we'll figure out the academic side.
All right, Brian, going to put you on the spot just a little bit here with some opinion. What would you rather see Colorado do? Play a schedule that included BYU, TCU, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Baylor? I'm going to leave out Oklahoma and Texas. Or would you rather cover a Colorado team that's taking on Utah, Oregon, Washington, the Arizona schools?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The travel to the Pac-12 is a lot more desirable than going to, like, Ames, Iowa, or, you know, Manhattan, Kansas, places like that. But, you know, and this might be a cop-out answer, but I think whatever is just the best spot for Colorado financially and set them up is what I prefer. And I honestly, I'm fine covering whatever. You know, I covered the last season of the Big 12, and I've covered the whole run through the Pac-12 to this point. And, you know, one thing I do like about the new Big 12 is I love a potential CU-BYU, you know, rivalry or, you know, yearly matchup. I think that's a game that should have been played for years. I wish that that game could be on the schedule. So I like some of the new potential matchups that could happen, whereas, you know, for the last decade or so, we've seen a lot of the same schools. So I kind of like some newness to what the Pac or the Big 12 would offer.
Deion Sanders certainly is saying all the right things, and I think that certainly is getting a lot of attention. But where are you at on the massive roster overhaul? Does this work? What are reasonable expectations for year one with this crew?
Yeah, whether it works or not, I don't know. We've never seen it before. You know, there's been some schools that have had a lot of change, but not like this. I mean, they could potentially have 75 new scholarship players, and I mean, that's frankly, that's two or three recruiting classes in one offseason. So whether it works or not, I don't know. I think it's fascinating. I think it's needed. You know, there's some good players that are no longer here that probably could be here and still help this team, but I think the overhaul was absolutely needed. I mean, you know, Utah fans saw this Colorado team the last time they played a football game, and they were horrible, and Utah could have put 80 up there if they wanted to. So this team was so bad last year that they absolutely needed this. They're going to be better than last year. I don't know how good they're going to be, but I think a reasonable expectation is getting to a bowl game. And I think that's probably their ceiling. They're probably somewhere in the 4 to 6 win range is my thought, and we'll see.
What has the response been from the administration and just the Colorado support, maybe boosters and everything? What's the response been in the way Coach Prime is now handling the roster, the complete overchange, just tossing kids out, moving kids along, and bringing kids in? Has there been any pushback or any negative opinion or thought on that?
No, not really. And I actually talked to Rick George about this, the athletic director, just the other day, and he's behind it. And he says, look, I mean, this is what we needed to do. I mean, they hired him to come in here and change the program and to win football games. And he's behind him. And the reality is that the NCAA rules allow Deion Sanders to do this. And there is that first-year coach exception where you can, you know, basically cut players and they can stay in school. You got to honor their scholarship if they stay in school. I think there's a couple kids that are going to do that. But, you know, the rules allow this. The transfer portal, you know, all these new rules allow him to do this. And CU absolutely needs it, and I think that they're behind it.
Well, I tell you what, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, well, let me, before we let you go, I guess one question. What's the deadline? Is there a date that you think that that they need to be, if indeed they do go to the Big 12, that they have to have that thing wrapped up to try to get in as soon as possible? Or is there kind of like a goal date that we need to be looking at for a decision to be made?
I don't know about a specific date, but I do think the month of June is huge for the Pac-12 to keep this together. I think that if you go into July without a deal, I think we can start seeing, you know, not just Colorado, but maybe Arizona, maybe Utah, ASU. I think if you get into July, this thing can start to crumble.
All right. Well, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff.
My mic or my headset kind of cut out. He said his deadline ended July? Is that what he said?
June. End of June. Not a specific day, but he goes, June's going to be absolutely huge.
We're in June tomorrow, so that's going to be quick.
Yep. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. What you may have missed coming up next. Wow. Holy smokes. Just getting some kick times coming up for the start of the college football season. Some schedules are being released. Some schedules have been modified. We'll try to give you the details on those coming up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
No, BYU should not be happy being in the Big 12. They should not be happy just being there this year. You've got to start that championship culture and mindset from day one. And I've said this, when BYU is independent, I said, okay, fine, own independence then. If you're independent, own it. You know, we're not in a conference, we're in every conference. And we're competing to win national championships. We compete on a national stage, and we're looking for young men who want excellence in every aspect of their life. In their football life, in their spiritual life, in their personal life, in all of their life. And if you're going to be there and own it, whatever you are.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. The 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Wednesday, everybody, yeah, right?
Wednesday.
Yeah, the old holiday throws you off a bit.
So, Scotty, this new broadcast opportunity that I signed up for hasn't really felt real. Is that how it was for you?
Oh, yeah.
Until you were there?
Yep.
So, we just got some kick times. Both Utah State and BYU kick times are starting to flood out. You're starting to see some scheduling.
Yep.
And it's starting to feel more real. And that's exciting.
Tell you what, I'm telling you, like, look, this show is awesome. It is
incredible. Yeah, it's my world.
It's our world, you know? And I tell anybody what's it like working with Hans. I was like, it's the best 3 hours of my day. I mean, it just is.
Even if you're lying, I appreciate it.
No, I'm not even lying. Like, it's...
Okay, give it to me. Go ahead.
What?
And then they ask what it's like working with Lloyd and say,
okay, that brings it back down to earth a little bit. Yeah.
It levels just it up. For you,
it,
man.
It makes it a job again.
And we're back. But honestly, when you're in that booth and that thing kicks off,
yeah,
it's, and you know, you've done games before,
yeah,
but when you're in the middle of it and that thing kicks off, it is a feeling unlike anything else, man.
So what I found, this show, and we joke with Lloyd, but honestly, we love Lloyd.
Yeah.
And the three of us love what we do, have a chance to do. Even when we argue, it's still the best 3 hours. It's fun.
Yeah.
When it comes to calling a game, what I've found, Scotty, outside of coaching, which I can't do because I don't like kids and I don't like the art of coaching, or being a player,
yeah,
which I've done, which I can't do anymore because I'm in my mid-30s,
yeah,
and my body's done. This is as close to the game as you can possibly 100%. Humanly
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
You're in it. And what I found when I'm calling those games is I'm putting myself in the shoes of those players, and I'm trying to look at keys, and I'm trying to look at reads, and I played on both the defensive and offensive line at the professional level.
Yeah.
And so I see these defenses, and I see the shifting and the stimming, and I'm thinking from the perspective of, oh, man. That every time they're shifting, it's yeah. drawing them off sides. Or, oh man, I see that hand flash. It's drawing them off sides three times. What game was that when the team couldn't stay on sides? It was a Utah game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they could not stay on yeah. sides. Like those little things. And I'm watching these things and you feel like you're in it.
Is that when Witt started yelling at Harding?
Yeah. And Harding yeah. said, then F and fire me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a rodeo.
But, you know, not to put undue pressure, you know, these national games you've done have been great. You know, Arkansas State, you know, you slip up and, you know, and what, you get like one person that says something to you, right? Like the guy was
really?
Like.
No, well, yeah, the one that I was talking to,
yeah.
took the headset off and he goes, the one I was doing the broadcast with, he goes, if you say Arkansas State again, we're just going to cut the whole production.
I'm just saying, like, ramp up the listenership and the attention to detail about 100 times when it comes to this BYU broadcast.
It is going to be loaded.
It is, yeah.
And now you've got these game day kickoff times that are coming.
And I
Scotty,
love it, man.
Scotty and I are going to spend the 2 o'clock hour talking about these kicks.
Let's go.
And so we would love to have you hang out with us at 2 o'clock. We'll give you some of the details on BYU kick times, Utah State kick times, and some of the kick times that we see coming out in regards to the Pac-12.
All right, 12:58, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, this is fun, man. And we've had a really good time talking about this because hanging out with us in studio once again is Bryce Merrill. He is the head coach of the Salt Lake Shred of the American Ultimate Disc League. It's your 11th season, man. I mean, this league's been around a while, and it's really set some roots in. And you've got how many teams across the country?
Yeah, we're one of 24 teams. You know, for Salt Lake, this is only our second season, but the league's been yeah. around, and we're one of the newest expansion franchises. And it's really exciting to see what the league has been able to do and the fans they've been able to bring in, you know, especially through, you know, highlight clips, social media, YouTube. You know, there's the game plays well to the camera, and I think once you see it, you get excited about what you're watching on, you know, what these athletes are able to do.
So this is your second year. Your first year, you make it deep into the playoffs. I mean, I got to imagine expectations are pretty high this year with that 5-0 start, too.
Yeah, inside the locker room and out. I think last year it was a fun surprise for a lot of the other teams and a lot of the talking heads in the ultimate world. And this year we didn't get any sort of grace period or honeymoon. And so we were expected to win on game one and now. And that luckily that's changed the way we practice. That's changed the way we play and perform. And I think it communicates, you know, the success we've had early on this season as well. We're able to do the little things right and put together a good product on the field.
Speaking of the product and continuing to grow the product, because I think that that's where you're at in an 11th year as a league and a second year as a franchise, just kind of growing the concept. Help people understand what this format looks like. It's a 7-on-7 on field, correct?
Yeah, 7-on-7. It's four quarters. a goal is scored when you catch the disc in the end zone. It's non-contact in the way that basketball is non-contact. You know, you can't tackle, but it's a very physical, very fast game.
There's a lot
game.
Of contact.
Yeah, a lot of contact in the non-contact
sport. That's non-contact,
sport.
Yes.
Yeah. And once you get out there, you know, I think one of the most exciting things for new fans of the sport is how much scoring there will be. You know, Salt Lake leads the entire league right now in scores per game at just over 25. And so you can imagine in a two-hour game in four quarters, you're going to see, you know, 40 or 50 scores between the two teams. It keeps it really exciting and fresh.
How many passes on average per scoring possession? Let's say you start – where is there like a touchback, if you will, where you start?
Yeah, so there's a kickoff or what we call the pole. And then it really depends on the style of team. We play this West Coast style of play. We like to air it out. And so we'll have a couple of points where we try to score it in two or three throws. You know, over the course of a game, our team averages about 300, 330 passes. And so similar to the number of passes you see in the NBA, in an NBA game. So that ball, or for us, the disc is moving quickly. And sometimes it takes 50 scores to walk it, or 50 throws to walk it down for a score, and sometimes we'll get it done in two.
Whatever the defense gives you, let's go.
Exactly.
I like it. Check it out. It's the next game coming up this Saturday, June 3rd, 7 o'clock at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman, taking on the Oakland Spiders. Tickets, $17 for adults, $12 for youth. Kids 8 and under get in free. You can get those tickets right now at saltlakeshred.com. That's saltlakeshred.com. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Cheer. Cheer, cheer.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's been a banner year for the University of Utah and that athletic department. Football winning a Pac-12 title, the deep run by the women's basketball team, and now the softball team off to the World Series. And head coach Amy Ho, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm great. How are you two?
Oh, man. Excited to have you on. Thanks for taking some time with us.
We're fired up about this, and we're fired up for your team. This means a little bit more when you're a former player, too. Just what are your emotions when you get that, you get that final out and you know that you're going to the World Series?
Oh, gosh. A lot of emotions. There was a team around me. My players that were so excited that I couldn't help but just live kind of vicariously through them. You know, when I went, it was so long ago, and I really don't think about that except for the fact that you guys always talk about it. I think everyone wants to bring it up, but they are my joy. They have done the work that it takes to get there, and the focus is on them, and seeing them just jump around and just some relief too, because they really worked hard, and sometimes when you work that hard, it doesn't pay off. And this time it did. And so there was joy, there was relief, there were tears, there was a lot of screaming. It was one of the best days of my coaching career. And, again, the attention on them is what made it so great.
I want to go back to the start of the Super Regionals, because it felt like that battle with San Diego State was pretty epic. You start into that thing, and it doesn't go the way you want it, and then you finish it the way you want it. How did you get things to turn around to the point where you're using mercy rule to end game two?
Right. Well, I did not. They did. that group of players were unrecognizable to us as the coaching staff and to themselves. So I think the only thing we did as a coaching staff is after that game, we brought them into the locker room and asked them to relive it and tell us what they felt, and made them talk about it and made them really kind of sit in a little bit and say, what just happened? And because I don't think they were really aware of it, and they wanted to just move on. And we made them think about it and make them, you know, go back to doing the things that they are comfortable doing. And that is keeping the focus within the dugout and on our team, because I think they got outside of that and I lost them for a day. I didn't recognize them. They hated how it felt. And then they talked about how the crowd got to them. They were trying too hard. They wanted to please everyone. And once they got back in the dugout and into the way that they like to play, which is loose and fun and kind of carefree, it all came back together. So they made that choice, though, to make a difference in how they did it from day one to day two. And hopefully we're just right back on track.
You know, you look over the course of a season and your record's 42-14. You've played nearly 60 games. And we talk to football coaches all the time. And one of the reasons we like to talk to a lot of coaches is just get different perspectives on leadership and coaching. And not only are you a coach, but you're also a psychologist with your players as well. I mean, there's so many things that go into what you do. But when you play that many games and there's so much wear and tear and grind on your players, how hard is it to make sure that you or how difficult is it to avoid those games where you mentioned where you don't recognize that team that's out there on the field?
Yeah, the constant reminder that it's a game that we play and that it should be fun. I mean, the grind is fun for me. That's why I've done it since I was, well, long, long time ago when I started. But I think that it'll wear on you if you're not finding a way to have a balance of have fun and get better. You have to do both every day. If you're just trying to get better, then you lose the joy and you die out. If you only have fun out there, then it gets out of balance that way, and you're not focusing on the details of the game and you're not taking it serious enough. So I strongly believe, and I learned it from the best coaches because I had the best coaches when I played, and that is there's a balance between you have to have both every day. So have fun and get better. And if you do that every day, I feel like you have a chance to do it as long as I've done it. And I think that as the season is a marathon and not a sprint, and it's a bunch of women who, you know, get on each other's nerves and we travel all the time, and that's the only way to continue to have fun is to plug it into everything we do. And we have, I mean, on road trips, we let them spend time with their families. We go out and do fun things. We goof off plenty. They're getting schoolwork done between all those things. And then we're winning games on the field, but there's no looser team, I think, at this point of the year than the team I've got in my bus. They are having so much fun. And honestly, they wanted to win last weekend so they could spend another week together. Not so they can necessarily play more games together. They never even talked about that. They just loved being together, and they did not want the being together to end. And it just so ended up that they had to win games to do that, and so they did. And here we are.
I think your story is special, Coach. I went through some of your titles and some of your timeline, just being born here in the state of Utah and playing your college softball here in the state of Utah and coaching at Slick for a time and coaching at Alta for a time. And you are Utah through and through. How much does this mean to you to be able to represent this school and this state? That's got to be really exciting for you.
It is. I love our state. I travel around a ton. And I see everywhere else, and I enjoy visiting everywhere else, but there's nowhere I'd rather be, nowhere I'd rather live and call home. And, and it's fun too, because we bring in a lot of people that are from Utah and they are learning what I already know. And that is the greatest state out there. And a lot of them stay after, they graduate, they stay. Their parents get pretty mad at me about that, but they get smart and they don't move back to California or Arizona. They stay in Salt Lake. So the population is going up because of me. Sorry about that. But they, and my teammates too, my former teammates, I mean, I played a long time ago, and some of them stayed after they graduated, and some of them came back and are retiring in Salt Lake. So, but neither here nor there. You're right. Like, it's the best place to be. I'm really loving the fact that I get to represent my home state. And I actually was born in Oregon, just so you know. I lived some other places when I was tiny, tiny, but I've been in Salt Lake since 83, which is a really long time ago. So love it. It's my favorite.
What's the scene here in the state of Utah from high school standpoint? Is the state getting to the point where there might be, you might be able to fill the roster with more Utah kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's been hit and miss. Some years there's a strong crop and sometimes there's not. And the recruits, and that's the same everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a swing in players up in Washington one year and then there's more in Arizona one year. And so we're always looking. It would be my favorite thing to take all Utah kids. I'm always pulling for the Utah kid. We signed what I think is the best shortstop in our state to play for us next year out of Riverton. And so always looking. My own daughter is playing in the state too, so I'm at a lot of local games because of that, and always pulling for the Utah kid because I was that kid, and that would be great. That would be my goal. But a lot of them don't play year-round, so it makes it difficult, but they're finding a way to play on some teams outside of the state when it snows in our state, which is for a long time, especially this year. So I think that that's key to getting some players in our state to catch up to some of the talent in some of the places where they can play our sport year-round outside.
So, Coach, what are these women in for here for the Women's College World Series? Just as far as competition, elevation, and environment, and crowd, and dealing with all those things. I know you've been there, you've played in it, but what are they in for when these games kick off?
There is hardly any similarities between when I played and what's going on here now. I mean, besides it's the Final Eight, that was the same. But there, I believe the place holds about 16,000 people now. They sell out every game. The events of the week, we've already had a practice over at OU, which was just because we got here early enough to have an additional practice. But there was an event last night for all of the teams, which was fantastic to have all eight teams together. And they honored the National Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year and also an academic award. And they did that and got us all together. And today is the ESPN media day and the practice on the main stadium field for all the teams. And so I think the hype is going to be huge today. I think our players are excited for this afternoon. We're actually leaving actually in about 20 minutes. I better not miss the bus.
Okay.
And then, games start tomorrow. There's four games on the first day. So there's a lightning delay happening right now in practices, and there's always delay in games. So I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow is about the longest day of our lives because we're the fourth game of four and there's always delays. So they won't start past 11 p.m., but I wouldn't doubt it if we're not on the field until after 10 o'clock local time here. So a lot is happening prior to the game starting, but tomorrow morning we finally kick it off.
Well, you got the opponent against, you know, you're taking on Washington, who you've played four times this year. You got a win in Tucson in the Pac-12 tournament, an 8-4 victory over the Huskies. I got to imagine your team's fired up to see them again. What can you expect from them in this showdown?
Yeah, we've played them four times already. So they know us. We know them. It'll be a chess match, probably a higher scoring game just because of the fact that we know each other's pitching pretty well. But whichever team can show up and play relaxed and settled, I think we'll have the edge. I think we're playing like we have nothing to lose. Nobody expected us to be here, so that's a fun role to be in. So we'll take that and run with it. But the excitement level is high, and game one is thankfully an opponent we're familiar with because there's not a lot of other familiarity going on in that stadium of 16,000. So the fact that we might know a lot about each hitter might calm them a little bit more on the first game, and then game two, no matter what, is going to be an opponent we haven't played yet this year. So we'll yeah, hopefully get off to a good start.
Atmosphere was really cool in the regionals when you played Southern Illinois and got the two victories against Ole Miss. And the way things kind of shook out, you were able to host the Super Regionals against San Diego State. Just how cool was it to not only make it to the World Series, but do it in front of your home fans?
I think that was the best part of it. You know, I talked to Joe Evans after the game, my former coach, and she's coached teams into the World Series with both at Utah with my team and also at Texas A&M. And she said that that's the most special thing to pay attention to, is the fact that you get to celebrate here and didn't have to go win that thing on the road in LA or wherever. And that atmosphere was nuts. I've never seen a crowd like that in the state of Utah ever. And they did it day after day after day through regionals and through supers. And that last game, I think we had over 3,000 people. And it's certainly a call out to the fans for when we start playing mid-March again, when there's snow out there. So we know what you're capable of. So get out here, whether it's, 70 or 80 or whatever it was last weekend, or it's, barely above the limit that we have to meet in order to play, which is like 32 degrees. So we had all of it, but we know you fans are out there, and the crowd is electric, and it really helped the team win once they settled in. At least at first it scared them, but it ended up being, it just was new level, and it was fun. And like you said earlier, when you started the show, I mean, that started with football and all the fall sports and then the winter sports and in through spring. I mean, this school, I mean, we're winning ball games in the Pac-12 and postseason play and through all the sports through all the months. So I think that having us right at the tail end of a phenomenal year for Utah athletics was what even made it that much more special. They just came off of that run that women's basketball had, and there's a lot of hype for the women's sports, and really proud of the whole department and what they've been able to do this year.
Special season for sure, Coach.
Well, Coach,
a lot of fun.
We appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We know it's a crazy day for you, so thanks for carving out some time, and good luck. Go get that win against Washington.
Go get them, Coach.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I hope you'll be watching.
And we're proud of you.
Absolutely. It's Amy Hogue, head softball coach at the University of Utah in the World Series, taking on Washington. They played them four times this year.
What
2-2.
Season.
Had a three-game series up in Seattle.
It's good to have some familiarity there.
Yeah. They lost two out of the three in Seattle, but then got a big one in Tucson in the Pac-12 tournament.
I think that her story, as I brought up earlier, is pretty fascinating, just being here in the state of Utah. She obviously does not want to talk about herself.
No.
No. She don't want to talk about her run to the World Series. She doesn't want to talk about – you can tell that she's all about her team. Because I wanted to talk about her a little bit. She's been the head softball coach at the University of Utah since 2008. She goes back into Mount West Conference play days.
Yeah.
And she has put together some really good seasons, and she's had a couple of rough seasons. She had some tough moments, I'm sure, when the season was canceled because of COVID. And there were a lot of people that were affected in the world of sports that we didn't get to talk to.
Yeah.
And they had a season canceled because of COVID. So she's rebounded extremely well. I think I can't remember their exact finish going back just a couple of years ago, but where they were a couple of years ago as to compared to where they are now, it's a big, dramatic change.
42-14 on the season. It's a lot of games.
It's a ton of games. And excited to see what they can do in World Series play.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, it was cool that they got to host the regionals here.
Yeah. Regionals and super regionals, and crowd showed up. Really great atmosphere. So congratulations to them. Should be a lot of fun. Should be good, man.
We'll be paying a close attention to it.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Coming up at 2:05, we'll dig deep into the schedules. No big real news coming out of it, but we do have start times, which is absolutely huge. The Big 12 now has a new bowl tie-in. Actually, I think it's an old one. I don't know what the bowl game used to be, but there is a bowl game in which the Big 12 will have a tie-in. They're playing the ACC, and it is now called the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yeah. Spectacular.
Yes. All right. If you had, what's your hierarchy? S'mores, number one.
Yeah, the s'more Pop-Tart. You know that. Because one time for my birthday, you got me 45 packets of s'more Pop-Tarts. And it lasted me 5 days. I went through a weird phase, I guess it'd been about 5 or 6 years ago, where I was eating 3 to 4 packets of s'mores Pop-Tarts every day.
Especially when they sell them at the gas station. You know, that's not helpful.
For 85 cents. They were the cheapest snack that you sell at a gas station. And, well, that and moon pies.
And I'm not you know what?
I'd alternate.
Do not like moon pies.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I love moon pies.
No.
Love them. That marshmallowy goodness and that soft cookie middle.
Yeah.
It's kind of a flaky cookie. If you haven't had a moon pie.
I know. But that, like that marshmallow thing, it just.
You don't like the marshmallow?
Makes a mess everywhere in your car.
Oh, I love them. It doesn't. You've got to get yourself a feed bucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to have your face over a 5 gallon bucket. Otherwise, you're going to get crumbs.
All right. So I'm going frosted cherry. For the Pop-Tart of choice.
So that's way back for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Or strawberry. Strawberry or cherry, one of the two.
I like the strawberry, and I like the blueberry, and I like the cherry. I'd put all three of those kind of back a ways. But that Pop-Tart, the s'more Pop-Tart, is maybe one of the best snacks on a shelf.
I've got half of a saline pocket in my car, and I'll eat that. I'll get that in my system.
You're a dirtbag, Lloyd.
It's a 911 call.
Do you like to heat your Pop-Tarts? Do you toast them and put a little butter on them?
Whoa, butter. I had not thought of that.
Oh, yeah. So
wait, you put butter on your Pop-Tart?
Wait a minute.
So I do strawberry.
That might be a game changer.
Yeah, I do strawberry and blueberry Pop-Tarts, and I toast them. Yeah. And then I pull them out, and I just do a nice little spread of
right
butter.
Right on top of the frosting?
On the backside.
Oh, okay.
So you get the frosting on the underside, and you butter the bread side. And then you just get a nice buttery feel with that fruit.
I bet that offsets the – because sometimes Pop-Tart's a little bit too sweet for me. But it offsets that a little bit.
Yeah, the butter is –
yeah, nobody complains about it. Lloyd, that's a you thing.
Butter is real nice.
When you complain about it being too sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I don't think I'd name a bowl game after the Pop-Tart.
Well
– but if whoever puts the money in –
whoever's ready to pay the Pop-Tarts bowl. I wonder if they'll do something stupid where they fill a Gatorade bucket all with Pop-Tarts.
We've been close to that Idaho bowl for a lot of years, and dumping tater tots and crinkle fries on coaches' heads.
It's better than the mayonnaise bowl when they're dumping mayonnaise on the guy.
Yeah, everybody was eating raw mayonnaise too.
Yeah.
Remember they would pan out to the crowd and everybody squirting mayonnaise into the back of their throat.
Yeah, that's no good.
But that wasn't that the condiment that you went with? If you had to survive on a condiment, I thought you said mayonnaise.
No, I don't think it was mayonnaise.
Oh, I thought you said mayonnaise.
I think we decided ketchup. Yeah. Ketchup was the way to go.
Or was it fry sauce?
I don't know. If you had to survive. Oh, yeah, because some guy got stuck in their car, right?
Ketchup on a boat. It was on some sort of boat, wasn't it?
All he had was ketchup.
Yeah.
Survived for seven weeks, I think, on just ketchup.
Well, Bryce Merrill's hanging out with us. He's head coach of the Salt Lake Shred and a man who, by the looks of him, has never enjoyed a Pop-Tart because the man looks like he's built out of granite.
Brown sugar Pop-Tarts are the way to go.
Yes, I love that brown sugar. I do. So you do eat a Pop-Tart.
I might be in the phase you were in. It's not so bad when you're in the phase.
Yeah.
On the outside looking in, it comes with shame and guilt. But while you're there, it feels great.
But there's a lot of fun along the way, you know?
Absolutely.
Good times, good eats along the way. Have you ever buttered it? Have you ever toasted and buttered it?
No, I'm straight out of the tinfoil package. No time to prepare it.
No toaster, just let's go.
Straight from the Maverick right to me. Yeah, nice and easy.
Gosh, I want to play for you. I'll run through the wall for you right now, Coach. You give me direction.
Hey, you beat Oakland. Free Pop-Tarts for everybody.
There we go. We'll have them ready to go in the locker room.
I don't know if there's rules in a collective bargaining agreement on Pop-Tarts.
We'll have to check with legal.
Inappropriate benefits or something like that, yeah.
You know, I love this partnership because, number one, promoting the event and getting people out there, excited to get people out there, and I think they'll fall in love with this thing. But I love teaching people about Ultimate. And it is a unique game, and it's a unique brand, and it's building in excitement and popularity. And it's something that needs to continue to be understood. And in different aspects of the game, we were talking about it being a 7-on-7. But one thing I found really interesting is there's no line of scrimmage. Once the kickoff comes, there's no line of scrimmage. Routes are forming out in the field in live time, right?
Exactly. So you get some of that organized, you know, football route running early on in the point. But as that disc moves, every player that catches it becomes the new quarterback. And so that'll, you know, A, forces the athletes to have to be really dynamic, and they have to be five-tool players. They can't just be overly specialized. And then B, I think that keeps the action moving. There's no real stop until a turn or until a goal. And so, you know, from the fan perspective, it moves that disc around. And from the coach perspective, it means everyone's got to do a little bit of everything.
So depending on where the Frisbee is caught, is there a set standard of play? Do people build routes off of what yardage is gained or what position you are on a field?
Now you're speaking my language here. This is what we love to do. So, you know, similar, again, still maybe more from basketball at this point. Everywhere that disc moves, you know, maybe we create a new triangle of offense that we're building, you know, and are we in the red zone or are we not in the red zone? Do we got 50 to go or 5 to go? And so that's what these players are practicing and trying to compute while they're playing in real time and just keep that disc moving around until we get a goal, ideally.
Are you calling signals from the sideline or are you letting these guys do their thing or how does that go?
Definitely some signal calling from the sideline.
You're not letting those horses run.
I like to think I'm an important part of that success out there. But realistically, you know, the game moves so quick. They only have a few seconds to throw the disc once they catch it. Again, the athletes have to be able to operate on their own without waiting for a call from the sideline. So a little bit of both.
We want people to get out there and check this thing out, man, for sure. It's coming up at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman. You're taking on the Oakland Spiders coming up on June 3rd, 7 o'clock start time. Great deals on tickets available at saltlakeshred.com. In fact, kids 8 and under get in free. But if you have not seen this up close and in person, you need to check it out. The Ultimate Disc League, there's so many great franchises, and you guys are killing it, man. 5-0 to start the season. That's awesome.
Yeah, couldn't be more excited with where we started.
Let's go. SaltLakeShred.com and get out there. Coming up on Saturday right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
I love it.
Where you can listen to The Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming The Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Somebody's got to watch out for those bearded dragons.
I'm so excited about our upcoming day of adoption.
You know, I was talking to Jenny about this, my wife. And I'm like, you know, there's DJ's got the road home. You've got the, you know, Humane Society and the day of adoption. They're like, what should I be latching on to a charity?
Yeah.
And like, Jenny's like, well, what are you passionate about?
Yeah, what
and
moves
like,
you?
Like, oh, nothing. Like, I need to find something.
Yeah,
like,
Scotty, what moves you?
Well, hold on. You did just organize Utah's largest barbecue judging contest.
Well, that's, I mean.
Maybe that's your passion. And if you're going to sign a.
Doesn't seem very charitable.
Well, it's not. In fact, it's very selfish. But.
Well, maybe like, you latch on to like, I don't know.
It was fun.
Like, heart disease or something.
What are you saying? Wait, were you saying that I'm going to have a heart attack?
No, I'm just saying because you're into the barbecue part of it.
Oh, okay. So I've got to counter it with something.
There you go. You counter it. Yes.
Yeah, because
I'm not saying anything about that.
It's not that DJ wants to be homeless.
He doesn't want to be homeless.
To avoid being homeless.
Yes. So he's just helping.
Jeez.
Like I don't want dogs to not have love and home. Cats and. Yeah, I talked about bearded dragons even having a spirit and needs.
A soul. The soul of a bearded dragon.
I don't know if I said soul.
By the way, no, that's exactly what you said.
After they stole it from you.
Hey, so does Stephanie think that I'm weird? Or did she come out like, is he?
Because
that was my first interaction with
her. There are a few things that I've enjoyed more than watching in that Zoom meeting everybody's face when you're talking about the cherished souls of all the bearded dragons.
all around the world.
That if they don't end up being, you know, finding a good home, they're going to be on a cowboy boot somewhere, and so
they'll be begging for grasshoppers on the corner.
Thank you for calling her Stephanie. Thank you.
By the way, I heard you call her Stephanie, and she laughed like she was irritated. She went,
she actually might be now.
Yeah, she's bugging her.
I'm kind of done now.
Yeah.
Have you been doing it for a while?
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Well, he makes sure he does it when I'm there, which has been 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, Stephanie, go back to regular Stephanie.
Another one of our bosses that we've got to be really careful with.
Because well, and that's the thing. Like,
she could kick us to the curb.
And you know, we talk about each other's shortcomings a little bit here, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're willing to call each other out a little bit.
What'd you tell her?
No, I'm just saying, like, when Lloyd really latches onto something, he really latches onto it.
Yeah, and you go until people are like,
okay, that's enough.
I'm sick of this.
Okay, that's enough. I've had it.
Just don't.
When you really sink your teeth.
Well, the thing is, I said it earlier, and she goes, oh, hey, and she walked in and shut the door like, oh.
Hello, Stephanie.
Stephanie.
It can only be good for so long.
Yeah, it's gone. It's worn off.
Well, Scotty, maybe that is your passion. Maybe just find a way to attach something that you care about to the big barbecue thing.
I need to find something that I care about, honestly.
Okay. Lloyd, let's help him with this. Let's help Scotty figure out what...
fired off some great ideas, but
what were they?
Well, no, you just wanted like...
Heart? No, he's not concerned about heart disease.
Everybody's giving money to heart. Like, I want to like help somebody who needs help. Like, nobody actually thinks about donating to the Humane Society until Han said, hey, let's help some dogs.
Humane Society of Utah, we will be there June 28th, I believe, right? June 28th?
Yes.
I think it's the 28th. And your adoption fees will be $12.80, representative of the original $12.80, the zone.
Yes.
Go cancer.
Lloyd, no, I'm not doing cancer. Stop it.
Should we build a cause to fight with cancer? Is that what you're asking for?
Cancer really gets a bad rap out there.
Let's join forces and... let's make cancer
better.
And
by the way, I don't like that I take the brunt of that because that was making fun of Hans.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Saying like
it's not a date. It's just a couple of guys going out to support cancer.
See?
Go cancer.
You did say support cancer. That's all Hans.
I don't remember.
No, we're not going to support cancer. We're going to get rid of
I wanted
cancer.
To say support cancer research. I left a word off. That's all I did. Well, I meant to say support cancer research, not out there cheering the cause of cancer.
Just hearing the go cancer is like probably one of my favorites.
Go cancer.
I just don't know if we can have like a 5K at Sugar House Park, you know, celebrating cancer. I don't, you know, it's probably not going to fly.
Come fight with cancer.
We'll have DJs and face painters and it'll be fun. Let's go.
So I have been a part of the Zero Prostate Cancer Run Walk for the better part of 12 years.
Yeah.
The Dyslexia Center of Utah. You were a big part of that.
I know. I was a big part, but I, you know, like that's Scotty's thing and you got the Humane Society thing. Like, you know, I just, you know, like,
Lloyd,
I don't
what's
know.
Your thing? You, know, you sit over
Lloyd,
there all
you
quiet.
Have a thing? Like, what do you...
Say no to drugs.
Okay, Nancy Reagan, well, come on.
Way original.
Let's throw it back to 85 here.
Should we start a group called Mad Lloyd? Real original. And
hey,
by the way, that's...
keep with what you guys give me a hard time about.
We've already won that battle. It's over.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
We nipped that one in the bud.
We got it done.
Mission
got
accomplished.
Ahead of it.
It's eradicated.
All right.
Due to your helpful efforts, Lloyd. Jeez. You're a tremendous fight. This is the first time I've ever heard you come out against drugs.
You know what? I got a slogan for you. Just say no. I think that'll work for you. Yeah. Just say no.
We'll try it out.
Hey, Lloyd, you do love the day of adoption, though. You're on board with me on this.
Yeah, of course. But it still is your thing. I mean, but yeah, I'm with you on it.
Well, I'm going to be cuddling some bearded dragons. I'm going to...
$12.80 to adopt, by the way.
You know what I'm going
to
do?
I'm not going to lie. Somebody's going to have to give me $12.80 for me to get a bearded dragon. Or actually a lot more.
I'm going to dedicate myself to letting either a bearded dragon or snake hang out on shoulder or neck through the 3 hours of the show. They can just chill. Why? Because they're pets. They got needs. They care for people, just like people care for them.
They don't care for people.
They do.
If I could extend my jaws just a little bit more, I'm going to take in this mammoth human being.
Why do you think they're always moving to, like, essentially cinch around your neck?
Yeah.
They're not moving because they're uncomfortable right now. Hey, I'm going to move.
Hey, Lloyd. You're not helping, man.
I'm not on the reptile.
We're going to adopt out some snakes. No snake is trying to restrict on my neck. They're just chilling. They like my warmth.
Just give it a sec.
Trying to dislocate its jaw so they can swallow you whole.
The jaw breaks. What was it doing? It was just simply trying to eat him.
All right, let's start with the good. Big news for Craig Smith and the University of Utah. Brandon Carlson announcing on social media that he is back for the University of Utah. So, Craig Smith, big day for Coach Smith. I was talking to somebody on his staff a few days ago, and they felt pretty confident that this was going to happen. But big news, Brandon Carlson back with the University of Utah. This is going to be a big year for that staff. There was a little bit of heavy lifting to do. There was great progress from year one to year two. Now you got to take the next step from being they were not great year one. They got to be pretty good in year two. Now you got to be near that upper echelon in the Pac-12 in year three.
I'm just laughing because this bad cracks me up.
All right, let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
No, I don't. So... Bill Belichick. Here's Bill Belichick's statement about the violations that led to the cancellation of team activities. The whole situation is in the past. It's resolved, and we've moved on. It was three meetings in phase two of our off-season program. I'm responsible for it, so that's it. And by the way, that's it is part of the actual statement that Belichick just put out in regards to the violation.
Wow.
The violation was a result of coaches' scheduling that resulted in players spending more than their allowed time at the team facility. Specifically, it was a result of special teams workshops that were led by Joe Judge, the assistant coach. So he just a couple extra hours in a meeting room, and Belichick, that was his statement.
So we always joke about the hotline, but I got to imagine there's like a hotline in the NFL. Yes. Because these
it wasn't back in the day, but there is now.
Collective bargaining agreement, I mean, it is very specific on how many meetings and how much time you can spend in mini camps and OTAs. And once you exceed that, you can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. And I bet some of these players are like, I don't want to be here right now.
So when I went out to Bermuda for that former NFL players golf tournament, what's that been, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
And I got to spend some time with a former NFL player. In fact, he was a tight end for the Denver Broncos. What was his name? I'll find it in the break. He's now working with the NFLPA. And so we were on a joint drive together.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, how similar is it what we went through to today? And he said, it's not similar at all.
Interesting.
It said it's not similar at all. He said everything's changed. Players have the upper hand. Back in the day, unless you're Peyton Manning or Marvin Harrison.
John Doe has the upper hand.
Yeah, you just keep your mouth shut and you do what you're told.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, obviously. And he said, nowadays, man, you don't tread. You don't mess. These guys have a lot of leverage.
Well, I got to imagine, too, that... That there is essentially with lawsuits, there's been a couple players I think have actually, passed away from overexertion. And I mean, it's not the old day where you rub some dirt on it and you earn your water break.
No, you guys want
water. You got to go earn it. I remember high school football two-a-days. You want water? We got to have good reps here. You're not getting any water today.
Not even throwing anybody under the bus. It's just how it was.
Yeah.
Water breaks came off of as a gift.
Yep.
Just like gassers came off of punishment. What do you want, water or gassers? We'll see how you guys do today. It's like, oh, man, that shouldn't be how it is. So, Scotty, for the infraction, Belichick was fined $50,000
okay.
by the NFL, and the team was stripped of organized team activities on May 25th and May 30th. So the team was back on the field for the first time today.
Jeez. And I bet he's like, I want to know who the snitch was.
Well, this is
how he, you know, he's flushing that person out.
Yeah, this is how he opened up his statement. We had a good long weekend. Am I doing a good Belichick or no?
Yeah, pretty good.
The whole situation is in the past. It's resolved and we've moved on. It was three meetings. I'm responsible for it, so that's it.
Oh, boy.
We had a good long weekend.
Hey, join KSL Sports Zone with Scott and Alex of Unrivaled for the Show Up for Summer Service Fair at Thanksgiving Point, June 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. Learn more at showuputah.org. See, that sounds like something else. That's a good one. See, Unrivaled's got their thing.
Yeah.
You got yours.
Well, Kevin White's got the pork product thing.
The Utah pork producers.
And they do produce pork.
Well, we had to work with Kevin a little bit on the liners. There's a certain way to pronounce the website.
While you were on air.
Yeah.
Because I was listening and I laughed so hard. We don't care about that, Kevin. See that on-off switch?
Oh, I'd never do that.
Don't
Kevin.
Do that.
All right, 148. A little whole world news coming up next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
The one and only Coach Tim Lacombe. Would you actively try and trade up for either Miller or Scoot?
I think the Jazz are in a good place regardless. Those first three picks are pretty set. I mean, there's a lot of really talented dudes. So I would say, hey, if you see somebody that you really can't live without and you've got the means to do it, you know, Ainge has always been really great at identifying that guy. And so if there is that guy and they can move, they've got the power to do so. But I think they're in a great place. I think with the assets, the current players they have under contract, and however it falls out, you know, they're going to get really talented dude in the spot. So the option's there to move, and Brandon Miller, Scoot have ability. They have things that could make them franchise-type guys, but I don't know if you can, like, put that label on them right now. So it really just comes down to there's somebody that you covet greatly, man, you go after them.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hanson, Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's another edition of Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE, will win a family five-pack. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Tickets see Real Salt Lake take on the Los Angeles Galaxy and U.S. Open Cup play coming up on June 7th. You want tickets? Come and claim them.
So, Scotty, whole world news today?
Yes.
I found my new baby Jessica. I have found my new white Bronco.
Oh, boy.
I have found the story that will grasp me and fascinate me, and I will follow it till its bitter end. And it is the story of Natalia Grace Barnett. This is a girl that was adopted out of Ukraine by a family that thought she was six.
Okay.
The family was told that she was born September 4th, 2003. So they bring her to America at the age of six. So that would have been 2009. They give her a home. According to them, they were rushed. And I have not watched the documentary yet, But the documentary is coming out, and it's a bummer because it's coming out on something called Investigation Discovery, ID. Have you seen the ID channel?
No, I have not.
Investigation Discovery. And it's called The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. You got to look at this. She went on with Dr. Phil in 2019. So the story goes, Scotty, that they get this girl that's dealing with dwarfism.
Okay.
A real problem, and that she was just six. And so the family, out of the goodness of their heart, they brought her in. And the mom, in kind of an attempt to help her get associated with life and the house, helped her kind of understand the shower system and realized really quick that this girl is not six. She is much older than six. It turns out, Scotty, that she was actually born in 1989.
Whoa! In the 80s?
Yes. They thought that she was six.
She's in her mid-30s?
But she was in her, yes, she's in her mid-30s right now. Yeah.
Isn't there a movie about this?
I don't know if there's a movie. I know that Dr. Phil did the investigation, had her on. She pled her case. At the time, she was saying, no, Dr. Phil, I am 16. And Dr. Phil's like, come on. Are you really going to stick to this? Because the government has reissued birth certificate and said, no, not 16. She was born in 1989. But she deals with this disease that makes her, or not disease, but whatever disorder, that makes her look really young and really small. And I was watching the interview this morning with Dr. Phil, and I'm like, yeah, I'd about it. I'd about it. I saw some of the early footage when they adopted her back in 2009 or so. But now this is going to be a multiple part documentary that I will watch every second of. I watched the trailer this morning, and the adoptive father, Mr. Barnett, Michael Barnett, seems really strange. They have since divorced. Christine Barnett is his wife. They've since divorced, gone their separate ways. Michael's really strange. They claim that she was threatening to kill them. She was threatening to kill the boys, that she was overly sexualized, that she was. And so they basically kicked her out of the house and put her in her own apartment. And people are like, how do you put a 12-year-old in their own apartment? Or whatever age she was at that time. And they're like, she's not 12. Yes. Her birth certificate says she's 12. She's telling us she's 12. You kicked her out and put her in her own apartment. And they're trying to get people to believe them that she's adopted from Ukraine and she's not 12. She's in her 20s. And we think she's probably in her 30s. And she's dangerous.
No, there's actual like a fictional movie where this girl gets adopted and they think that she's like 8 or 9, but she's actually in her 20s. And like she like kills the whole family.
So it might be based.
It might
off
be
of this.
Based on this, yeah. Because no, I think I saw that on a road trip sometime.
Well, this is a very true, very real story. And by the way, the reason I bring this up, the series just started yesterday, and so again, I don't know the name of this channel or I don't know it. Investigation Discovery. It's an I and a D, and it's kind of a red I and D. I think I might have it. On my
the ID channel,
yeah. Do you have it?
I don't think
the movie.
So.
By the way, the movie is called Orphan. It came out in 2009.
Oh, tell me that the inspiration behind it is Natalia Grace Barnett, because that would be fascinating. Because I'll watch the documentary and then I'll go watch the movie.
Oh, that Orphan movie is okay,
but,
creepy.
But you've seen it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing, though, right?
It feels like it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so was she considered to have some type of genetic disorder?
Yeah, where yes. She just looks super young, and they think that she's 12, but she's actually in her 20s. And
she kills everybody.
Yeah, pretty much she kills everybody, yeah.
Well, Natalia Grace Barnett did not kill everybody, but she threatened to. And apparently the dad, Michael Barnett, woke up one night, and she was at the foot of the bed with a knife. And he had to.
It's never a good thing.
He had to restrain her. And just for the sake of information, I want people to just Go look at the trailer and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm not you're not fascinated by this.
Give me back to the good movies, like the stuff like, you know, Not Without My Daughter, that type of stuff.
What, the Sally Field movie?
Yeah. Give me back to that stuff.
What made you bring that up?
I don't know. Just this movie kind of, when I was hearing just this girl, it made me think of Not Without My Daughter. Not Without My Daughter.
Not Without My 30-year-old adopted serial killer.
Ukrainian.
The good movies. Come on.
Oh, man.
You know what I watched with the kids the other night? Have you ever seen Hachi?
No. Is that the dog?
Feel-good movie.
That's not a feel-good movie. Like, the guy dies and the dog just...
Oh, hey! Hey!
What?
Is it new?
Have you not seen it?
No, I'm just saying, like, people maybe haven't seen it.
No, it's been out forever.
Oh.
No, have you not seen Hachi?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Don't you watch that. You will be a blubbering fool at the end of it.
You will love it. I promise. No. I swear.
Does a dog get hurt in it?
No, the owner dies.
Hey. What? You're a terrible friend.
I'm not a terrible friend.
You're a bad friend.
No.
You are.
It's based.
Do yourself a watch it and enjoy the loyalty of a dog. Just enjoy it.
For some reason, on-screen human death has never affected me. It's just on-screen pet death or animal
death. Yeah, it's not Marley and Me.
I haven't seen that. Won't.
Don't. Yeah, don't.
In fact, the last movie I watched, I barely got through it, was Homeward Bound. And it
was the dog and the cat and the snake or something like that going across with Michael J. Fox voicing one of them.
Hmm. A snake?
Really?
I'm sorry.
Really, Scott?
Was the snake riding the cat? Well, it was two dogs and a cat.
Homeward Bound.
Came out right after Milo and Otis. I could barely make it through that movie. Benji about destroyed me. So I'm not gonna be watching.
By the way, there's a show called Old Yeller. I bet you'd really like to.
That one.
What? It's on Netflix. Netflix. Go watch Hachi.
It's called on what?
On Netflix. It's a Netflix.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll even play back the tape.
Sounded like some old school shenanigans.
I know, right? All right.
Cup check.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's coming up this weekend, folks. Let's get to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Another game. The Oakland Spiders rolling into Zions Bank Stadium to take on the Salt Lake Shred. And the head coach, Bryce Merrill, joining us. And so let's – I know we talked when you were in here last time, but kind of talk about your background. I mean, how you got addicted to the sport and how it led to what you're doing now.
You know, I grew up with probably the association with Ultimate that most everyone else did. You know, I knew it was a thing that you could throw on the beach or toss at a park, but I had no idea that it was a sport. And then stumbled into it as a college freshman at intramurals down at BYU. And, you know, now 20 years later, I've fallen in love with it. And so something that I love about it is how easy it is to, you know, understand and learn the first time you play. And that's how I was able to get into it on intramurals. And then, you know, a lot of the players that we have, you know, that are now playing at this level started playing with their friends in junior high or, you know, as a club at their high school. And then they turned that into playing for their high school and then playing in college and now playing here. So it's just a great sport if you've never played it because it's so easy to understand and easy to get started. The rules are really simple. And I think that makes it really approachable for a lot of people.
Coach, when's our next opportunity to have listeners come out and enjoy a game?
So, yeah, like we've talked about, this Saturday, 7 p.m., is a home game against Oakland. Really excited to play them. It was an overtime game when we went to Oakland a few weeks ago. And so to get a chance, I think both teams have had this one circled, knowing that it was such a good and close game last time. We're excited to have them out here to Zions Bank to watch us. So, yeah, Saturday, 7 p.m. In Harriman at the Zions Bank Stadium.
So you got a little history with Oakland then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We love our rivalry with Oakland. In fact, two of our best players, Jordan Kerr and Jacob Miller, we stole from Oakland when we became an expansion team last summer. And so it's definitely a great game and a lot of respect between the teams, but it's a good battle for 2 hours on the field.
Is that how you built your team? Was it an expansion draft?
Sort of, yeah. You know, obviously it's a far less developed than a lot of other leagues around the country. But yeah, we're able to sign players to contracts and bring them in. And so our goal was to bring in a lot of the local talent as much as possible and then see what we could do to bring a few other franchise players. We've been able to take some talent from from New York and Boston and Atlanta this last offseason, in addition to Jordan and Jacob from Oakland the season before, and supplement that with a lot of the talent that has come up through, you know, Utah, Utah State, BYU, UVU teams, and helped put together the roster we have this year.
If there's somebody out there that is playing and they want to get involved, I mean, I guess the best part is play for your college team, I guess, and kind of come up the ranks. How does someone become a member and get noticed by you and your staff to become a member of this team?
Yeah, good question. So first off, don't let us or our staff be the reason you get involved. I think, you know, there are thousands of kids in Utah that are playing for their high school clubs or playing in rec leagues, and we love that. We support that. That's a big part of who we are as a team. But yeah, a lot of them, if you play here in the local colleges, we have great relationships with each of those coaches and programs, and we're obviously really invested in their success and making sure that they are developing great players and all that. So the guys that are playing on this team have a lot of experience. They're really talented. They've dedicated big chunks of their life to it, and we're glad they did because they put a great product on the field.
Get your tickets now at saltlakeshred.com. That's saltlakeshred.com. Tickets available, $17 for adults, $12 for youth. Kids 8 and under are getting in free. It's at Zions Bank Stadium coming up this weekend, Saturday, June 3rd, 7 o'clock start time. Let's go. Let's have some fun. It should be a great game coming up on Saturday right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Make sure to join Unrivaled Thursday from 3 to 6 at the Be Prepared Expo at the Legacy Event Center in Farmington. Discount tickets at BePreparedExpo.com. By the way, I appreciate all your tweets with charity ideas.
We're going to find something that is near and dear to your heart.
This whole thing. Apparently, people think that I'm cold-blooded and have no emotions. So,
this guy says, Andrew says, Natalia Grace show streaming on Max, formerly.
Oh, the HBO Max? The HBO thing, yeah.
Is there an HBO streaming service?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, all the HBO shows. Yeah.
What? How many streaming services are there?
So this is the thing. Everybody thought it was going to be really cool. Like, oh, I'm going to get rid of my satellite bill, or I'm going to get rid of my cable bill, and I'm going to save all this money. Well, no, because then you got to get your Disney, then you got to get maybe Hulu, and then your Netflix, and then your HBO Max, and then everybody else is coming, and they're
Paramount.
And they're all just dinging you for like $10-15 a month. But when you add it all up, it's more than what you're paying for cable to begin with.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
Paramount and are Paramount and Peacock different?
No, I think they're different.
They're two different.
Yeah. So add another two $10 or $15 ones.
You're making me sick to my stomach right now.
Yeah.
How many do you have to subscribe to? I guess you don't have to subscribe.
Let's see. I've got Netflix.
I've got Netflix and Disney.
And then, yeah, I got Disney and then Amazon, but that comes with when you do the Amazon Prime thing, so.
Yeah, Amazon Prime, do you pay extra for it somewhere?
No. If you do the Amazon Prime thing, the once a year, it includes your TV thing, which I think actually is probably your better value right there.
Well, this Natalia Grace saga, I got to catch up on this. It's on my to-do list.
You're going to have to get HBO Max, it sounds like.
Yeah, probably. Do you have an account? Either one of you? Password, please?
Oh, stop it. Call Ryan. I'm sure he'll find something for you.
So, Scotty, we've got a few games and their kick times to announce.
We do.
I wanted to start with this Utah State stuff because there's actually quite a few changes here with Utah State.
Yeah, the Utah State schedule got turned upside down pretty good. Utah State now has three games that have been moved to Friday instead of Saturday.
So three Friday games.
Yeah.
Or how many total Friday games does that give you now?
Three. They were all Saturday before, but so you've got September 15th, the game against Air Force is now on Friday. That game will start at 6 o'clock. October 13th, Fresno is at Utah State. That game will also start at 6 o'clock. And then another game, November 24th. Great, you moved it to my wife's birthday. That's awesome. Utah State will be at New Mexico for a 1:30 game.
Oh, no. On Mama's birthday?
On Mama's birthday.
At New Mexico?
At New Mexico.
Maybe she'd love a good getaway in Albuquerque.
Hey, I know a good Japanese steakhouse.
Nothing like having shrimp tossed at your face. That's always a good time.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go. Hey, let's spend your birthday in lovely Albuquerque.
At a teppanyaki.
We'll go see the Breaking Bad house.
Only the food culinary capital of the world.
Go see the dumpster where that guy was hanging from that Hans saw.
By the way, Utah State actually also has two 10 a.m. games.
How are you feeling about the 10 a.m.s?
Well, I like it because that means I get home at a decent time.
Are they both home
10 a.m.? No, they're both road games.
Both road games?
Yeah, so their first game of the year, September 2nd, they'll be at Iowa. That game will be on FS1 and will kick off at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, obviously 11 a.m. Central. And then they're playing UConn September 30th at UConn, and that game will start at 10 a.m. Mountain, so noon. They're in Storrs, Connecticut.
Do you have any network?
Yeah. For all the games?
Yeah. Sure.
Let's see. The Iowa game will be on FS1. The Air Force game on CBS Sports Network. The UConn game will be on CBS Sports Network. Fresno, CBS Sports. At San Jose, CBS Sports. That's the other game that has a game time at 5 o'clock. Let's see. San Diego State on Fox Networks. Boise State on CBS Sports Network and New Mexico on CBS Sports Network.
BYU's got four kicks and their times and networks announced. So four have been released today. Saturday, September 2nd, kicking off against Sam Houston State in Provo. That is going to be an 8:15 kick on Fox Sports 1. Then you've got Saturday, September 9th, against Southern Utah. That's in Provo. Kicks off at 1 o'clock on ESPN Plus. That's another streaming service, isn't it?
On which one?
ESPN Plus?
Yes, that is streaming.
You got to buy that too, right?
Yep.
Jeez Louise. Man, I wish I was on BYU TV. If it's on ESPN Plus, it's not going to be on BYU TV.
No,
right?
No, because you're in the Big 12, so you don't own those third tier rights anymore. So you don't have those.
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
because those BYU TV games were pretty handy dandy.
Yeah,
and I thought BYU TV did a really good job at those. The big one, September 16th against Arkansas. That's going to be at Fayetteville, Arkansas. That is going to be a 5:30 kick, Scotty, on ESPN2. They've also got the Cincinnati game lined up. The only Friday game currently on schedule for BYU. Friday, September 29th against Cincinnati. That's in Provo. And that is an 8:15 kick.
Ah. I don't like those 8:15s.
It is on the mothership.
All right. Well.
It is on the, as Jake Scott calls it, Mother Mouse.
Mother Mouse. All right.
I think he just calls it the mouse.
All right.
But it's the mothership mouse. So it's an ESPN kick, 8:15. 10 o'clock a.m. I don't know how I feel about that. You like getting up? Because that means you'll be starting pregame at what, 8?
9. We do an hour pregame. But, you know, honestly, I like it. Gets your day going. Gets you home on the charter pretty quick. But I think it's hell on the players. I mean, for me personally, I like it, but if I'm a player that made a trip back east, so I lost a couple hours, and then all of a sudden I got to play and I got to get up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. and my body clock is still thinking that it's earlier. That's not great. That's not great at all.
Is that for network appeasement?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They just want an early game.
Yep.
I have watched some of those early morning games, and it is kind of fun to wake up and
flip on
an early morning game.
Look, for me personally, love it. For fans, I think it's great. But for the players and the coaches, I think they're really upset.
Fans' perspective. Fans do like a 10 a.m. kick?
I think you would.
Lloyd, say the Utes are kicking off 10 a.m. against Oregon State. You like that 10 a.m. kick? As a if you got the ticket and you're heading to the game?
Lloyd likes to pregame a little bit.
Okay, can you stop?
Well, you could start pregaming Friday night and carry it right into 10 a.m.
Right into it. Maybe sleep, just stay up. Just power right through.
I guess, I don't know, Bloody Marys might work, you know?
Yeah, that's Bloody kind of Mary, breakfast. Sure, why not? I don't know. It feels like a little early. I would prefer, like, I don't know, like a noon kickoff. I think noon kickoffs are pretty sweet. And
noon is kind of the sweet spot.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Obviously.
And it will be noon in Connecticut, but for fans here,
it's early.
I'll tell you what isn't a sweet spot is an 8:15 kick.
No.
I'd take the 10 a.m. over the 8:15.
Yeah, so wait a minute. Okay. All right. For you, the broadcaster, or you, the player?
Both.
I mean, I know, obviously, broadcaster, but as a player, let's say it's back east or you're on the road.
No, no. As a player, I want the 8:15 kick.
Okay, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Where it is, I want the 8:15 kick. Because as a college kid, you're already conditioned to be up late, stay up late.
Yeah.
Have your energy late. I was when the sun went down, that's when...
It's when hands
the good times
got
came
going.
Up.
Yeah.
That's when the fun started. And I loved games under the lights. Love them. So I would definitely take the 8:15 kick. As a broadcaster, you're wrapping up that game at 11:30, maybe midnight. By the time ESPN pushes it back, because it is on ESPN.
You won't start until like 8:35.
So you're looking at midnight, probably on the last call. Let's say it's a close one, takes you to 12:15, and... I'm going to get used to the new post games on the broadcast.
Last call. Are you talking about at the bar? Last call?
No. Uh-huh. Well, it might be last call there.
All right. By the way, have you had your big broadcast meetings yet?
No.
Okay. I'm kind of curious now how long they're going to keep you around for post game.
I don't know. I've had some pregame conversations. I have not had post game conversation. I don't think so.
You and Shep taking calls?
On the pregame?
No, post game.
I don't know. I don't think Shep's doing postgame.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh,
I think Shep's pregame. From what I understand, I might be wrong. Yeah. I have not had those conversations yet. So
I'd say when you go in there, you just diva it up.
How long do you do you and Kevin go?
I don't take phone calls. I'm Hans Olsen.
Does Kevin say that to you?
Oh, yeah. Kevin really flexes.
He does?
Oh, yeah. It's like I'm not going to sully myself. No, so I'm joking.
15 minutes into the post game, and Kevin's like, hey Scotty.
Wrap it. No. Here, Kevin's on the flip side. Kevin would be like, hey, I think we should do a 4-hour post game. Like Kevin wants to keep going and going and going and going.
Do you guys take calls in your post game?
No.
But you do get coach in the post game.
Yeah, players and coaches.
I know we'll have Kalani in our post.
Yeah.
Which is going to be fun. That's a new wrinkle for me. I've always got my hand slapped when I've talked to players or coaches in the post game.
How can we get your hand slapped?
I'm not getting my hand slapped on the official broadcast.
No,
I promise you that.
Come on.
That will not be happening.
Oh, you don't want to have fun. Okay.
I remember.
Just steal my what the hell just happened line and just let it fly in the middle of a game.
How would that go on a BYU broadcast?
I think we should all find out how that's going to go.
I think you'll be fine.
I don't. Really, Lloyd?
Oh, yeah.
Final last words
for Greg, what the hell,
friend.
Man?
Not happening. Not happening. I'm going to be wearing a button-up shirt and tie. This is going to be... I'm going to be all on all my P's and Q's, Scotty. We'll be minding my behavior.
See, I don't think that's what people want from you.
No.
The people want hands unfiltered.
Well, the last thing I want is... for Rebel to grab my phone and chuck it. I don't want anything like that happening.
Yeah, the moose needs to be loose.
What moose?
You're the moose.
What are you talking about, the moose? I'm the baby buffalo.
Baby Tatanka needs to run.
It doesn't matter. Let it run. Let it go.
The moose needs to be loose on the broadcast. Are you sure?
You can't bridle my guy. He's got stuff to say.
I'm so excited, though.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I would much prefer a 10 a.m. kick, though, on a broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Can we get Utah State and BYU back on the schedule, and then we'll just flip-flop? Kevin can go do BYU. You can do Utah State with mine.
That'd be fun.
You know? It'd be fun.
Would that work? It probably It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Scotty and I get a game. Kevin and Greg get a game.
I think it'd be great.
They can hit Elder's Quorum right after. Isn't Kevin a bishop?
Yeah, he is a bishop. Is Greg?
Probably.
He should be if he's not. Utah schedule, there's a few, or actually four games that you have start times now. The Thursday, August 31st against Florida, that'll be a 6 p.m. Mountain start time on the Mother Mouse. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Mother Mouse, yeah.
Mother Mouse, ESPN. You have another game on Mother Mouse, Saturday, September 9th at Baylor. Guess what? You get a 10 a.m. game.
Oh!
Utah and Baylor, 10 a.m. Mountain on ESPN.
On what day?
September 9th.
Hold on.
Saturday.
Oh, dang it. So I got the 1 o'clock kick. I'm not going to be able to do Utah pre that day.
Okay. That'd be fun. That'd actually be pretty cool if we were able to pull that off.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Saturday, September 18th, Utah versus Weber State. That's a noon Mountain start time on the Pac-12 network. And let's see. Yep. So those are your three games that you have start times
for. Give me the Florida kick again.
Florida kick, 6 o'clock Mountain.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for the start of this Utah season. The most exciting start by a long stretch here in the state.
Since Michigan, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, last year's start against Florida was great, but, man, this has the buildup. It's got the rematch. You were at the Swamp. You had a baby-faced Barton. You had all kinds of opportunities to win it, and it was great. It was a classic game, came down to the final throw that was an interception that I don't know if I'll ever recover from that one. I'm trying to get away from that personally and not take offense to it. It was offensive.
Yeah.
The end of that Florida game was offensive.
That one sat with you for a while.
So what happens when you have an offensive ending is you've got an opportunity for retribution.
Yeah.
Florida coming to elevation. Florida coming to Rice Eccles.
It's a dry heat.
And it is an excited fan base.
Yeah. Oh, no. They're going to want to look outside of Michigan. Florida is probably your highest profile non-conference game you've ever played. Can you think of two better non-conference opponents that have come and played a game at Rice-Eccles Stadium than Michigan or Florida? You can't. I mean, yeah, you had some Pac-12 teams back in the day when you were in the Mountain West, but now you're playing those guys on a yearly basis.
Texas A&M doesn't count.
Texas A&M wasn't, and they weren't good at the time.
No,
they were
like ranked like 25th, but they weren't good.
I appreciate you bringing that up, but I would still put...
Even if Texas A&M was pretty good, which they weren't that year, that's still a much better opponent. Michigan and Florida, and you can debate which one's better, but that Michigan game was crazy with Jim Harbaugh's first game as a head coach at Michigan.
Utah has such an insane opportunity in front of them.
Yeah.
Insane opportunity because they're going to be preseason ranked pretty high.
Yeah.
I've already seen different publications and projections. They're going to be preseason ranked top 15 somewhere. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely.
You open up top ranked 15 with Baylor and Florida. If you can find your way through those two games before you find a little bit of rest before you get ready for a Pac-12 play, and you could put together a season with the personnel that they've got on the field. And by the way, if you haven't looked at the 60 and 60, you're going to see a lot of Utah players. It's no big surprise. And I know that there's probably going to be some complaints about it, but guess what, people? Utah's loaded with talent this year.
Mm-hmm.
And to be totally transparent, it was tough because we actually, it was a lot of vetting because there were more Utah players that could be on that list. It is a deep roster. And it comes down to one guy. Because you don't have a lot in one position, and that's the quarterback spot. If Cam Rising can go and Cam Rising is healthy, this might be one of the most exciting seasons in Utah football history. If not, then you're resting on the potential arm of a freshman or a pig farmer. It's
quite a drop off.
It is.
Jeez.
And
jeez, man.
It is. It's,
I know, but you're like, you got Cam Rising or you got a freshman and a pig farmer.
It's tough, man. Or you take JaQuindon back from the running back room and put him in Wildcat. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not happening. Well, I guess could do some Wildcat, but.
So I'm beyond excited for Utah's start to their season, Scotty, but it really does come down to how healthy Cam Rising is and can he hold up? I know we've seen some of Nate Johnson, and we saw Nate Johnson in spring ball. And Lloyd, I don't know how much you got to see of Nate Johnson in spring ball, but they were running some package work with him.
Yeah.
And he looked really good. Brandon Rose was kind of the talk of the town through spring ball. He's the freshman I'm talking about out of Temecula, California. He's got a nice build. He's 6'2 or 6'3. He's a tall kid. And he's good. But when I'm talking through Nate Johnson, or I'm talking through Brandon Rose, or I'm talking through just the overall quarterback, Bryson Barnes, nothing compares to Cam Rising.
No, not even close.
Not even close. And Nate Johnson missed a lot of spring because of injury. If I'm remembering that right?
Yep.
Lloyd? I think he was out for quite a portion of spring ball with injury.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Bryce Merrill's joining us. He's the head coach of the Salt Lake Shred. Got a big game coming up as they will take on the Oakland Spiders at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman. Get your tickets at saltlakeshred.com. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. We've talked about you, coach, and your background, but let's talk about some of your players. Who are some of the guys to watch when they're slinging that disc around?
Yeah, we've got We've got a couple of great players that are coming back for their second year. Jordan Kerr was a runner-up in the league MVP last season, led the entire league in assists, and is pacing to potentially do that again this season. And so, you know, he's a really fun player to watch. He's 6'3", he's fast, and he's a lefty. And so what he's able to do with that disc, especially in the red zone, he's a red zone specialist for us, and so he ends up getting a lot of goals.
Is there some advantage being a southpaw?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of the schemes, the defensive schemes are built for, you know, 90% of the population being righty. And so we have a couple of lefties that are really useful there. Sean Canole is our center handler, who you might consider our quarterback on the offensive line. And so he's leading the league in total yards right now, just the amount of throwing and catching that he does. Had a great highlight play last game through a 95-yard assist. Again, the things that they're able to do on the field is pretty spectacular to watch. And then our D-line unit, we picked up a couple of great players from other franchises last year. Elijah Jaime and Eugene LaRue both came to us first-year players with our squad and are helping us still be a top-five team in blocks this season. So really exciting plays, big playmakers, and it's helped us with a great start so far this season.
And you guys get to play up that Zion Bank facility, and that is up in Harriman. That is a state-of-the-art, great place to come out on a Saturday or on a weekend and enjoy a game.
You know, we're getting the 75-degree weather right now. That's going to be the case this weekend. You get a sunset over the valley from Zion Bank. And so come on out. You can grab a drink, grab a brat, and just have a great Saturday night with us. You know,
bring the kids.
Yep, great family environment. It's a great and casual and really fun game day environment that the team has been able to build.
If you've not watched Ultimate Disc, you need to see it. It's fascinating to see, especially up close and in person. Again, get your tickets now. Go to saltlakeshred.com. But the game coming up June 3rd, 7 o'clock start time at that Zions Bank Stadium as you battle the Oakland Spiders. You guys are 5-0, trying to push it to 6-0. How many games in a regular season?
12 in the regular season, top three in the division to qualify for playoffs. And so we've got the toughest part of our schedule ahead of us, but
oh, really?
That's where we're looking at this season. We've got that goal to get back to the playoffs and see what we can improve on.
Let's go. It all starts again coming up on Saturday, 7 o'clock at Zions Bank Stadium. Go to saltlakeshred.com. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Steve.
Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Jake Shapiro joining us from DenverSports.com.
I think Colorado's looking for lifeboats at this point, guys. There's a reason why they left the Big 12 years ago. The Big 12 just culturally and from an academic standpoint does not align with what CU stands for as a school. I personally do not want them to go back to the Big 12. I'd rather take my road trips to lovely Salt Lake City and, you know, places like L.A. and Tempe rather than Manhattan, Kansas, and Stillwater or wherever the heck the Big 12 schools are now. And there's Big 12 schools all over the country. You have to remember, there's West Virginia now. I think what Florida's going to be in the pack. So it's going to be a huge burden of travel. I think the goal for CU is to find a way into the Big 10.
It's unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2G Bars.
Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost.
The 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is time for another edition of Sports Roulette. We take some of the big storylines and put it on a roulette wheel. We spin it, and wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. And like always, the wheel is jam-packed. Holy smokes. So let's get to it. Let's not waste any time. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
NBA Finals.
The NBA Finals, folks. It's finally here after the Denver Nuggets had to sit and wait and wait and wait. It's time to get this thing going. And it should be a fun one, too, for sure. When it starts tomorrow, June 1st, the Heat and the Nuggets.
I hope it's a fun one.
That's all I want. I just want to be entertained. That's it.
My expectations are low.
For the most part, we've been fairly entertained through these playoffs. Except for that series against the Lakers. That Lakers series
bad.
Was not good. It was bad.
Pretty much every series Denver's been a part of.
This Heat Celtics one was pretty good until that last game.
Have you watched the Denver series where you thought, ooh, Denver could be in trouble here? Denver, every time they've stepped on the court in a series, it's lights out.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that it's going to be that with Miami. Miami can't keep up, Scotty.
I just can't see it. Here's the thing. It's not just that the Nuggets are into the NBA Finals. They are 12-3 in the playoffs. Like, they could foreseeably win an NBA title in 19 games. If they sweep the Heat, they could win an NBA title in less than 20 games.
That would be very rare.
And remember when David Locke, it was the first year Golden State won the title, and he said that the Warriors will not only win the NBA title, they'll do it in, I think he said 20 games or less. And it ended up being, I think, 21. And even then he was doing a victory dance. But for the Nuggets to be able to win an NBA title in maybe, perhaps, if they get the sweep in 19 games, if it goes 5, they'll do it in 20, which is still a remarkable number.
So one of the things that I really, really missed on, we all did. I brought up the fact that we, four of us made predictions. None of us got either of the two teams from the East or the West that were going to meet up in the finals. That tells you how we felt about Denver going into the postseason.
Yeah.
One of the things I really whiffed on was their overall ability to play defense when they need to. And I'm not saying that they've been a defensive juggernaut, but for instance, when we were looking at Kevin Durant thinking, ooh, this could be tough, Aaron Gordon said, oh, I got it. I've got the length. I've got the physicality. I've got the drive. I got the desire. I'll make his life hell. And he did. And that's not where it stops. And you don't think of Michael Porter as being all everything defensively or Caldwell Pope. But what these guys have done is they've found their assignment They've taken it serious. They've matched up okay. And then on the offensive end, they just continue to throw elbows and abuse them.
Yeah. Yep.
And I haven't even brought up one player in particular that should have been this year's NBA MVP, but just got the Western Conference MVP trophy in Nikola Jokic. So across the board, and I know Jamal Murray has gone through injury and he's gone through some conversation of not being the best or interested defensive player. But again, when you're smelling blood in the water and you feel like you got a team that can do it, and as David said, the best starting, was it David that said it yesterday, the best starting five in the NBA right now? Is that what he said? I don't want to put
I think he said that
words in his mouth. But it is by far the best starting five. And I get it. The bench is pretty lean for the most part. I don't know what Miami can do. Whether you're rotating Caldwell Pope or, you know, what you want to do defensively with playoff Jimmy Butler. But you take that out of the equation. Okay, so let me ask you this. Is Vincent going to give you another 29-point game at any point?
No.
Because in that last series against Boston, in order to win it, and you did it in seven games, and it was great, Miami, and it was very impressive. But in order to do that, you had to have a 29-point game from Vincent. In order to do that, you had to have a 26-point game from Caleb Martin. And you talked extensively about Caleb Martin yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll get another 26-point game?
No.
From Caleb Martin?
No, you will not.
So as great as Miami played through that Boston series, I don't think you get a 29-point game from Vincent. I don't think you get a 26 or 28-point game from Martin. I think the weight gets distributed on Butler. I don't think Adebayo is going to be your answer to match up against Jokic.
Nope. Not consistently.
Not consistently.
He'll average another triple-double and might be another 30-point triple-double in this series. It's going to go four or five, Hans.
Yeah. If it goes five, great. If it goes six, man, we are in house money, and yeah. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
If Miami found a way to sneak out game one tomorrow, I'm cheering because I know I get just a little bit more NBA, a little bit more finals play, and things ramp up and get a little bit more exciting.
Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Fun day at the track.
Did you guys see the tire that came off the car the Indy 500?
Yeah.
Flew into the parking lot. Came off Kyle Kirkwood's car.
When I first saw the highlight, I thought that thing is going right into the right into somebody's lap.
Mm. That'll kill you so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kyle Kirkwood's car lost a tire. It flew into the parking lot, hit a vehicle. Well, that person is getting a new vehicle, according to the Motor Speedway spokesperson. Told the Indianapolis Star today that Penske Entertainment, which owns the IMS track and the IndyCar series, is giving Robin Matthews, who's a big race fan there in Indianapolis, a brand spanking new car.
Really? What if it was like an 88 Honda Civic?
That got smashed? I don't. Let's see. What kind of car was it? Crusted Chevrolet. So you had a Chevy.
Okay.
Does not specify the year. But they're giving a brand new car. I'll take that.
That's nice. Absolutely.
Go to the track, have a tire fly off, hit my car. I'll take that.
Every now and then, you know, you're stuck scrolling on your phone and you see these weird compilation videos pop up on, you know, whatever social media aspect or platform you're on. And I saw one of like just random tires coming off cars and the damage they do. Like you get a tire.
I'm guessing you saw the one that hits that lady in the back of the head.
Yep,
I've seen that video. Yeah, piles through on the videos. I'm like,
did you see the one where the Subaru, where it came off on the road and the Subaru runs over it and it fires the Subaru up 25 feet in the air?
I mean, these things do some damage.
Yeah, they do. You know what's crazy? I was actually reading a little bit about this morning. They were talking about the tethers that are supposed to hold the tires to the cars. I guess going back in the 1990s, you were talking about a tire going onto somebody's lap. There were a couple deaths tires flying off cars. And they started this tether system back in the 90s to make sure that if that tire does come off, that it doesn't leave the vehicle. It's tethered on. For one reason or the other, the tether failed, and that thing went right into the parking lot.
Wow. All right, Lloyd, one more time.
Another financial hit to the Pac-12.
Oh, the hits just keep coming for the Pac-12. This time it's the Holiday Bowl. Has filed a lawsuit against the Pac-12 Conference and UCLA, seeking more than $3 million in damages because the league's refusal to reimburse the bowl game after UCLA elected not to play the 2021 Holiday Bowl after they dealt with COVID issues. Man, I don't miss those days at all. The Holiday Bowl filed a suit in Superior Court in San Diego on Tuesday, claiming the nonprofit bowl game lost more than $3 million from the cancellation of the 2021 game, wiped out the 43-year-old bowl association reserves. The complaint said that the Holiday Bowl had engaged and continues to engage in good faith with the Pac-12, but so far the Pac-12 is like, no, sorry, force majeure, nothing we could do. And they said, well, yeah, but it's your team who made the conscious decision not to play in the game. The game was not canceled. You decided not to play in the game.
Sadly, and I mean this sincerely, sadly, through that whole COVID era, people were having to do what they believed they had to do.
In an abundance of caution.
They did whatever they believed at the time would be most responsible for them and their team. And if that meant fiscal responsibility and UCLA didn't see themselves reclaiming anything because they're paying for flights and fans aren't even allowed and whatever the ultimate decision they came to, they made the decision. The truth is, Scotty, you open up this can of worms and you say, all right, so you're suing because of what happened to you through COVID. Think about how many businesses, how many organizations, how many employees, how many people lost money, had something negative happen to them. You open up, and I'm sure that the can of worms has already been opened, but this would be a very public can of worms. Yep. Where somebody is granted some level of financial recuperation because of what happened to them in COVID. It's just, I feel like everybody's got something to file for. Everybody.
Yeah.
And it felt like in that time, everybody just did what they possibly could to exist.
Holiday Bowl said that it had to refund all of its revenue from ticket sales, all of its sponsorship deals, and all of the television broadcast rights because the game would not be played.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but that's, they did what they believed was the right thing to do. And they could have used COVID as an excuse because they felt like UCLA was going to lose some money in it. But it's just where we were at that time.
According to, again, you go back a little bit, I'd forgotten about this whole thing, but it was the defensive line group that apparently was just decimated with COVID issues. And they felt like they did not have enough defensive linemen to participate in that game. So the question is going to be here. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out because the Pac-12 is like digging its heels. Like, hey, you know what? Everybody, in fact, here's George Klofkoff. So the Holiday Bowl has been a great partner of ours. We intend for them to move forward as a partner of ours. We're consistently and constantly talking to them about what happened in 2021 and trying to find a way to move forward together. You're right. I'm really fascinated by this on how, I guess it's going to boil down to, could UCLA have actually played that game? And if they could have, what would that team have looked like, and should they have been able to play?
And if it boils down to that, then you don't get recuperation. You don't.
A lot
because
of people.
Because our country was in a tizzy.
Yeah.
Especially we were at that in a point. Pinch.
Because remember, in 2000, that December, we had a huge outbreak in 21.
Yeah, it was a resurge.
Yeah.
And the caution, as you mentioned, abundance of caution, everybody was even taking on the research was pretty severe.
Yeah.
And the testing, Scotty, the thought that UCLA is going to go on the road and test everybody for a bowl game that they don't have defensive linemen to play in, because remember, they would do it by position
group. Well, yeah.
If they had one in a position group, then they'd take the whole position group out for a period of time. We are going to continue to forget how extreme everything was in that time period, as it looks like the Holiday Bowl has.
Yeah. Well, and the Holiday Bowl saying, too, it was hours before the game. You know, I think it would have been a little different if it was 2 or 3 days before the game, but they were getting ready to kick off, and then they're like, nope, sorry, we're not doing this. Which, a lot of people did that.
Yeah, how many events did that happen to?
Well, you're right. It'll be interesting if they do, if the Pac-12 is forced to pay, then you might see more lawsuits.
I think there's
like
a lot of can of worms that could that could be opened.
All right, 251, we'll wrap this thing up when we come back. Hands and Scotty. Oh, I see what you want. Okay, fine. You know what, Hands, let's talk some hockey, shall we? Because I know we're still a few months away, but that upcoming hockey season will kick off right here in Salt Lake City. The 2023-2024 season begins in Utah. Don't miss, Hands, the Frozen Fury, as the San Jose Sharks take on the LA Kings at Delta Center October 5th. Tickets available at lakings.com/FrozenFury in association with the Utah Sports Commission.
Well, until... No, I won't. Until we get the NHL here in Salt Lake and get our own brand, this is King's Country.
Wait, what?
I know I'm the Jolly Lancher.
You're the Lancher, man.
I know. I'm the Jolly Lancher. And I ride or die.
Come on.
When you say this is, how in the world could you put the Kings with Salt Lake City?
It's King's Country.
I want to go Las Vegas Knights.
No, I feel like.
Knights.
I feel like I am the Lone Lancher in Salt Lake. I feel like I'm constantly.
Our guy Eric is going to be really upset with you saying this.
Well, Eric's my support. He's my backbone.
He's the wind beneath your wings?
Yeah. He and I, we call ourselves the lopsided Lanchers because he's smaller than me, so I'm heavy. So if we're on a teeter-totter, it's always on my side. So we call ourselves the lopsided Lanchers. And
I hate you so much right now.
But we fight a constant battle here in King's Country.
In King's Country. All right, 253. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Tim Lacombe, Utah Jazz radio studio analyst.
Are they comfortable at 9, or do you think that doesn't really matter if we're 7, 8, 9 because we have enough assets to where we can move up?
They certainly got their board and their favorites, and the big key is to try to figure out who's going to take who. If they see a guy and they've done their intel and they've done their workouts and there's just somebody that they feel like they can move up enough and grab, I would expect them to be aggressive and do that. But the one thing I will say is there is a slew of names that, depending on how the draft falls, that group of guys that come up seem to be guys that can really help. You know, if it's looking like they're going to be, you know, in the game for one of those, then maybe you stand back.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Any part of the show, every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby. Don't ever look back. Let the world around us just fall apart. Maybe we can make it if we're heart to heart. And we can be.
Hands and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show right here on the Zone.
Can you just let me play college football right now. I just saw a tweet come across my timeline.
Yeah.
I won't mention who sent it, but it says, looking for new golf clubs. Any recommendations on a low-budget set?
Oh, geez.
Anyone have any thoughts on this set? Maybe.
He learned this from you. From this player is.
Learned this from me. And I saw one of the transfers that came into the state. Won't name mention his name. He sent out a tweet that said, looking for some furniture for my new place.
Oh, geez. This is ridiculous.
Not kidding you. I am, and yes, he might have learned it from me had I had the opportunity to tweet out my needs back in the day.
Well, you do that now, like, hey, I'm looking for a movie, and you have like four people running over a DVD to your house, which you have not returned any of them.
I returned Hope Floats to that one guy, left it in my mailbox.
Yeah, what's that other one you kept, though?
Homeward
the
Bound.
The most important.
No, it was not Homeward Bound. Don't. If you're going to do that, don't try to be funny. Be accurate. It was Labyrinth. I think it was the Labyrinth.
Everything about you watching different. Homeward Bound is funny.
That's a good movie.
A little tear in your eye when...
The Labyrinth?
When the bobcat tries to eat Michael J. Fox.
Was it The Last Starfighter?
Oh, jeez.
No, it wasn't The Last Starfighter. What was that movie?
Was it the Wizard of Oz Part 2 with the electronic owl?
Wait a minute, there's a sequel to Wizard of Oz?
Whoa, you didn't know that?
No.
I didn't know
you
that.
Didn't know
Wait,
that.
What?
Wait, what?
Wizard of Oz Part 2. Guys,
you're
come on.
Oh, you're making that up.
Making that. You're not getting me today.
I'm floored by both of you.
Judy Garland comes trancing around Oz again.
Turn on Coach's mic. Coach, you've heard of Wizard of Oz Part 2?
No. I got nothing for you.
You got my back.
Yeah,
on
you're going to need to Google that now because
our guys
knows.
I think this might have been like a straight to DVD, like movies you shouldn't be watching, honestly.
It's called Return to Oz. Came out in 1985.
Is it like that Harry Potter movie title you like to share with us every now and then? It's one of those movies?
No, it is not. It is not.
You sure?
How have you guys... It's got a 6.7 out of 10.
Out of 100?
No, out of 10.
On what?
It says...
JudyGarlandFans.com?
Dorothy, who has been saved from a psychiatric experiment by a mysterious girl, is somehow called back to Oz when a vain witch and a gnome king destroy everything that makes the magical land beautiful.
Oh, jeez.
That sounds like trash.
That sounds like straight trash.
You know what's straight trash?
Did you watch it?
You're not watching it.
Have you watched this?
Multiple times. Yeah. I watched it back in 1985 when it came out, and I'm sure I've watched it 8 times, maybe 10 since.
No, you have not.
You got to watch it. It's got a little electronic owl, and it's got this weird pumpkin guy.
You go watch.
We see the Tin Man again.
Yes.
You go watch Hachi.
He's different.
And you go watch Tin Cup, and I'll go watch this.
We'll watch this.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Lost Boys. I think that's what I borrowed and didn't return.
No, it wasn't Lost Boys.
I'll give it to you guys. I did borrow one movie and didn't return it. But for the most part, when I borrowed from listeners, I returned it to listeners. But these guys are asking for furniture and golf clubs.
I think Johnny's still looking for his movie bag.
Yeah, I found it. I can't remember what movie I borrowed now. I thought it was like maybe it was Fantasia? Was it Fantasia?
That's not it.
Oh. The Disney movie?
Yeah.
With the broken broomsticks?
Yeah.
Da-dum, da-dum, da-dum.
Yeah, there's like a psychedelic music adventure.
For some reason, college kids love that movie. I don't know why.
I still love that movie.
Yeah. All right. June 3rd is the day. You need to be at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman as the Salt Lake Shred take on the Oakland Spiders. And we appreciate Bryce Merrill hanging out with his head coach, dealing with our nonsense. And coach, you have not seen the sequel to Wizard of Oz.
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. I got work to do this weekend.
Yeah, you got too much
electronic
on your plate.
Electronic owls.
Yeah. You can't be dealing with this nonsense.
It doesn't pique your interest at all?
No. Just say no. You can be honest on this.
Maybe have it on the team flight. Team bonding experience.
Get them in the right mindset. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
So, Coach, we got to get some people out this weekend. It is going to be a beautiful evening. Weather is perfect. And it's affordable. You can bring your kids. Grab a soda, hang out in that beautiful facility out there at Zions Bank Center or facility out there in Harriman. And we just want people to come out and have a great time. That's what you're looking to do, is just put on a great show for people.
Yeah, and again, I can't stress this enough. If you have seen a sports game, you're going to figure this game out within the first 90 seconds. It's easy to follow. It's a lot of action. And like you said, it's a great way to spend a Saturday night here in the summers in Utah. And so we just come on out and check it out and see what you think.
A lot of time spent game film, getting game prep and scouting Oakland and seeing what you're going to see out of these guys.
Absolutely. They took us to overtime last couple weeks ago. We're hoping to fix that.
Ooh, what are the overtime rules? Sudden death? Or how does that work?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay.
5 minutes and then double overtime is a sudden death. But we're hoping not to get into that this weekend, hoping we can take care of it in regulation.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, here's the thing. As you mentioned on the last time, 75 degrees, probably around kickoff. Grab a dog, grab a beverage, sit back, and just enjoy something different, something fun. And you're not lacking for action on this one. It's going to be up and down that field.
It's a quick and really fun 2 hours. So just come on out, check it out, and let us know what you think.
This league is really blowing up, too. I know you've got some TV games coming up. The league overall seems to be really healthy. This is a really great opportunity for people to see, you know, Ultimate Disc and see exactly what's behind a really growing sport here.
Yeah, let the algorithm go to work for you and go on, Instagram or YouTube and check out a couple of clips. But, it's very exciting to see, and it's easy to understand. It makes it an easy follow.
All right. June 3rd, 7 o'clock, Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman. The Salt Lake Shred against the Oakland Spiders, $17 for adults, $12 youth. Kids 8 and under are getting in free. Go to saltlakeshred.com. You get them at the gate. It might be about a buck or two more.
Something like that, yeah.
So your best bet, go to saltlakeshred.com and get to the website. Just check out what this team's about as well. Again, saltlakeshred.com. Coach, good luck coming up this weekend, and let's do this again soon, all right?
Absolutely. We'll see y'all out there.
All right. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.